about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Dear Lord, guides me and nourishes me. I set foot on this path that you have laid before me with a strong arm and a willing heart to totally rock this sh-. Amen.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
What's the best call you ever took on Loveline?
Well, there was a guy who went to a morgue and stole the head off an old corpse so that he could have a skull in his aquarium that he kept his snake in.
And what was his question?
Good question.
And now.
I made the right call.
No, you made a promise. 10 years ago in this studio, you made a promise. More rock, less talk.
Our feature presentation.
That's our slogan, all right? More rock, less talk.
Yeah.
Hey, party people, welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show. This time it's for Thursday, and it's for the 2nd of June. How are you, ladies?
Doing good, Bean. Good. How are you?
I spent the day yesterday trying to say the word reciprocity, and I feel like I pretty much nailed it.
Yeah, you did.
Do you want the tape?
I do.
And now, a moment with Bean.
But in the spirit of reciprocity.
One more.
You say it.
No, one more. One more.
Reciprocity? Yes, thank you.
That was a moment with Bean.
Now, completely honest, I can only say it if I'm looking at it. I cannot recall it and keep all the letters in the right order. But reciprocity, I can now say when I look at it. So I just wanted to start the show and kind of.
But you didn't just say it.
No. What? It's not reciprocity? Damn it! I'm so close. All right, I'm going to keep working on it. Hey, let's talk about this jackhole in Texas. He's been all over the news. He paid his traffic ticket with pennies. You see him? I know you saw him. Right? Oh, this dude. I've had an ass full of this dude.
Oh.
His name is Brett Sanders. Brett Sanders lives in Frisco, Texas, and he got a traffic ticket sometime back for going 39 in a 30. Look, nobody is happy about getting a speeding ticket, and his argument is, and by the way, I think he's accurate, that most people break a traffic rule most of the time when they're out driving a car. It's just a question of whether you get caught or not. But here's the way I look at it, and tell me if this is stupid, is I often speed a little bit, and it's fair if I get caught once in a while.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know if I ever go the speed limit. Who's going 55 on a freeway?
Right.
No
exactly.
One ever. And if you are, we're flipping you off and we're riding your tail.
Yeah. Right.
We hate you.
So Mr. Sanders, 32 years old, again, Frisco, Texas. He describes himself as a freedom fighter and a citizen journalist. And he's got a blog like they do.
Sure.
And he says this boils down to a morality issue. We shouldn't just roll over and pay traffic tickets. I wanted to make a bigger point that the laws are not always just. So instead of just paying his $212 ticket, he went to court. And he had a jury trial in Texas for this. This is not even a judge, but this is a jury in Texas for a speeding ticket of 9 miles. His argument was, look, I literally put no one's life in danger. If I had crashed into someone or created a victim and damaged someone's property, I would take responsibility. I think a lot of people would agree with that. But this jury did not. They said, no, you violated the law and you should pay the $212. So what did he do? He spray painted two big buckets with the words extortion money on them. And then he went to the bank and got 22,000 pennies. And took them out of their rolls and loaded them up and then went into the court to pay his fine with a T-shirt on it that said, authority, you have not. Now, the poor lady behind the counter at the courthouse could not be any sweeter as he walks up and asks about paying his ticket.
Hello. I'm here to pay a traffic ticket.
Okay. Can I get your driver's license, please? I'm sorry, it's $212.
And you take exact change?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let me run out to the truck. I'll be right back.
Okay. I'm going to be grabbing your file.
Perfect.
Sweet old lady behind the
counter. Absolutely.
So he goes out to his truck, and he brings back, two giant buckets full of 22,000 pennies and dumps them on her desk.
You're in luck. I found exact change.
The first bucket of 11,000 pennies. The lady's just standing there, just looking at him. He pulls out the second one. And here's what he says as he walks out the courthouse.
Mail me the receipt. You got my address. Peace out.
Mail me the receipt. You got my address. Peace out, he says to this poor lady
what
who
a
now left.
Piece of crap.
Right? He's not a hero here,
no.
Right? Look, I don't know. I mean, I guess he's trying to make a statement. And a lot of people have said, hey, you know, this old lady is just working at the courthouse in her golden years. Is it fair to her? She's just doing her job. And he says, look, in my opinion, she's part of the problem. You know, she's working in the system. She's paid with stolen tax dollars. She's accepting stolen money, he said. She's now complicit in a crime. I don't think thieves should be respected, is what he said about this poor old lady.
How old is this guy?
He is 32, Allie.
Yeah.
Okay? 32.
Yeah.
There's one final PS, and that is shortly after he got home, he got a call from the courthouse, and you'll be very surprised to hear the message that was left, again, from the nicest government employee in Frisco, Texas, you can imagine. But here's what he said.
Yes, Mr. Sanders, this is Matthew, Frisco Municipal Court. I was calling to see you actually have change coming back to you. And just give me a call back. The number is 972-292-5524.
So he apparently had overpaid.
I can make sure I have it ready for you in the safe. And when you're ready to pick it up, I can give you your change. All right, sir. You have a nice day. Bye-bye.
All right, sir. You have a
nice
day.
Wow. These are the nicest human beings ever.
He overpaid by $7.81. And that just makes me wonder, by the way, about how the bank was doing their job rolling those pennies. Because he just bought boxes of pennies and unloaded them. I don't think he counted them.
Right.
But he overpaid. So anyway, that's the story there. But not a hero, right?
He's a jackass.
Yeah.
He wasted the court's time. He wasted everyone's time. He tied up the court system that could have been taking care of an actual real criminal for this case. What a... Ugh.
Well, I hope he gets some reciprocity because
of
what he did.
That's good, man.
Going to be starting to use that word a lot.
That's just
to get over the hump. All right. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Who knew it would already outdo that?
Well, I don't know if that's what we're doing, but we do have our good friend Jonah Ray stopping by today, who's always very entertaining. He is the host of a new travel show, unlike any travel show you've ever seen, called Hidden America.
So
it'll be
good.
Fun to catch up with Jonah from The Meltdown. Also, it's Thursday. That means sports with our friend Jim Rome. We got Dr. Drew on the program today. Ooh, check this out. Tickets to go see Prophets of Rage, the hottest band in America right now. They're playing at the Hollywood Palladium tomorrow. You can win your tickets from the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Rave reviews for their show at the Whiskey. A couple of nights ago, you get a chance to see them at the Palladium, so we got those tickets. How about this? Beck is back. Brand new single called Wow. We'll have it for you. And Beck in studio to world premiere it at 9 o'clock this morning on K-Rock. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat, and that's next right after this. Oh, Ralph, thank God you're in here. Thank God you showed up.
What happened? Why? What's the matter?
Peaky Blinders talk.
Oh, not
Peaky
Blinders
talk. I said one thing. I said one thing, that the BBC is only on episode 5.
Here we go.
Yet here in America, we've got the whole series, which is crazy to me.
Ow. Ow. Ow.
So much Peaky Blinders.
Stop.
Peaky Blinders is the best show in the world.
Mama, make it stop.
Peaky Blinders on Netflix right now.
Okay, you like a show. Why do we have to be punished with it?
Just watch it.
Just go about your business.
If you were to just watch it.
Can't we all, we're all just people. Can't we just live our lives in peace and just respect others' choices?
I've seen crazy people in Hollywood proselytizing about Jesus with less fervor than Allie comes in here every day with Peaky Blinders.
God,
the Shelbys are my Jesus.
Okay.
All right. No one knows what that means.
Because we don't watch the show.
Because we don't watch
the show that are good.
Barely
no.
exist.
Know what it means.
5:56, time for our first look at the showbiz beat here on the world-famous K-Rock, and then we'll catch up with Andy Samberg from The Lonely Island coming up. But first, what's going on with you, Ralph?
Speaking of television, I'm way behind my sleep this week because I stayed up late the other night binge-watching the last four episodes of The Night Manager. Were you watching The Night Manager over at AMC?
So good, right?
It is.
So good.
Like, feature film quality good.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's better because it's three times as long as a feature film. But it was a great piece of television. It really was.
It was wonderful.
That Tom Hiddleston, man. He's dreamy.
Now, are you with me on board with him as Bond?
I think obviously he could play it. Yeah, obviously I think he could play it. I just don't know if he has he's almost too pretty.
Really?
Yeah,
now that's
almost too pretty. I think Bond, especially in a post Daniel Craig world, has to have a little bit of street in him.
A
little grittiness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think Hilton's a little polished, but he obviously could do it.
He could definitely play the suave parts and the romancing parts and the, you know.
Easily.
But people do question if he's up for the, you know, the fights and the action and whatnot.
But beyond physical stuff, there's a gravitas that comes with Bond.
Right, yeah. And he's young. He's really young.
Yeah,
too.
So I don't know. I think, of course, he could play it, but I don't know if he would be my first choice. But he was sure great in this. And Hugh Laurie.
Incredible,
some of the
right?
best work he's done in a long, long time. And he's
Hugh
always
Laurie
great.
As a bad guy was hard for me to get in my head. And then you see him and you go, this dude's terrifying.
Terrifying. Terrifying like Taylor Swift. Like that kind of terrifying.
How dare you?
Right? What a surprise. Taylor Swift can't keep a boyfriend. Isn't this shocking? I know. I'm shocked. Apparently, Calvin Harris has called it quits with Taylor Swift. After 15 grueling months of togetherness.
They seemed pretty happy when they did all that big anniversary vacation together.
Mm-hmm. Right, they were on trampolines.
Pictures on the
they
beach.
They seemed very happy on stuff they post on social media.
What a surprise. Taylor Swift on the surface in that thin veneer of manufactured persona seems to be quite lovely. Wonder why then things didn't work out. Oh, perhaps underneath... Hitler.
I don't think
right?
that's...
Right? Is that what we're saying?
It was
no,
quite
we're
the
not
leap.
Tata
no.
Switler.
No.
That's what we're saying.
Look.
Read a blog. Read what the alt-right is saying about her. What the neo-Nazi community says about her.
Open up a blog.
They can't love her enough.
Let's get Alex Jones on the phone.
That's
I'm sure he's
what
got
I'm
some
saying.
Thoughts on it.
Yes.
Look, Ralph, I was prepared. I knew you were going to come in and you were going to somehow blame this all on Taylor. But we don't know what happened.
Yeah, we do.
We don't.
Oh,
we don't know
we
what
do.
Happened.
You think she was surprised when he called it quits?
Oh, I'm sure she was.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you're breaking up with me. She made that face.
Look, it's
he pretended
not
to dance really badly while he
it's
was breaking up with her.
It's for a 26-year-old woman to break up with a boyfriend after a year and a half. That happens.
Mm-hmm.
Happens to a lot of them. She's
okay.
no exception.
All right. But weren't they the happiest couple in the world?
They seemed happy when they were together,
yeah. Shut up. Taylor Swift with your fake happiness, your faux happiness, your fappiness.
No.
Does that just work?
No.
That's
no,
a
no,
whole
no.
different thing.
Oh, okay.
So now she's just a crazy cat lady again.
Yep. Oh, come here, Olivia Benson. let me use my licky brush on you.
Oh, no.
Oh, you know she's got the licky brush.
Have you ever wanted to lick your cat?
Yeah.
Taylor Swift's all about the licky brush. Probably her new song. We're going to hear a new single soon.
It's
licky
true.
Brush, licky brush.
I see what you did. You just changed Shake It Off to Licky Brush.
I will come over and end you. You're on me early this morning, and it's not going to go well.
You're already on the Peaky Blinders Thin Ice.
That's right.
Oh, it's such a good show, you guys, on Netflix right now.
Today's Celebrity Birthdays. It's you people think this is some sort of radio shenanigan, but I'm telling you, it's not. It's a genuine mental illness.
Yep. I love Peaky Blinders.
Okay.
We don't care. Whatever.
Wow,
Chip.
You make a Chip speak up.
Oh.
You've really crossed the line. Today's celebrity birthdays: Charlie Watts, Rolling Stones drummer for 132 years. He is 75 years old today. Not sure how the math works out, but Dennis Haysbert, very talented actor, 62 years old. Dana Carvey, not good at it. Still doing that impression. He's 61 years old today. Andy Cohen from Bravo's TV show hosting position that he holds.
Yes.
He is 48 years old. Wentworth Miller. Oh, I love him. So good.
He's the dreamy prison break actor, right?
Yeah, but more importantly, he's also Captain Cold, Len Snart, from The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow.
Sure, Len Snart.
Len Snart?
Yes.
That's the worst name ever.
He's a bad dude. He's got a
Snart?
Bad dude with a bad name. That's right, Snart. You heard me. And now he's going back to Prison Break. They're going to reboot Prison
As
Break.
As Len Snart?
No.
Oh.
Wayne Brady's 44 years old today. Zachary Quinto, Mr. Spock, is 39. Dominic Cooper, the preacher, of course, from the TV show The Preacher.
Right.
And Howard Stark from Agent Carter. He is 38 years old today. Also 38 is my buddy Justin Long. Nikki Cox Moore, Jay Moore's lovely and talented wife, is also 38 today. And Morena Baccarin from Gotham and Homeland and all kinds of good things. She is 37. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Killers on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Allie, did you see that the bassist is sitting out the summer tour? Not going to be touring with the Killers?
I did not.
Yes. I know. Trouble in Paradise. They're your band. I love them.
I can learn bass real quick.
And join them on the road. Why not?
Easy.
Speaking of great concerts, by the way, how about 21 Pilots at Honda Center? We got tickets to give away for that today. We'll put you in the drawing for the grand prize to go to Reading Festival in England. It's Festival Flyaway 2016, destination number 2. We also have tickets for The Prophets of Rage tomorrow night at the Hollywood Palladium. That is all coming up. Yesterday, as you know, the show got off to a little bit of a rough start.
It hardly got off to the best start ever.
It was amazing.
I was doing a little news story about some nonsense, and I came across a word that, well, I think this moment will explain how I might have had a little trouble pronouncing it properly.
And now, a moment with Bean.
But in the spirit of reciprocity.
One more.
You say it.
No, one more. One more. Reciprocity?
Yes, thank you.
That was a moment with Bean.
So I found out.
Reciprocity. That was my favorite one, I think. Reciprocity.
I found out that I have a word that I apparently cannot say, and that word is reciprocity. And. I'm reading it. I do better when I'm looking at the word, although that doesn't explain why I had so much trouble yesterday. And there are some combinations of letters that just make some words difficult to pronounce for some people. Ralph, I was stunned to hear yesterday that you don't think you have a word that you constantly mispronounce or stumble over. Really?
I don't have one word. I mispronounce lots of things lots of times, but there's never one word that every time I come up on it's an uh-oh moment saying, this is going to be hard to get through. I just don't have that word.
Well, I didn't. I had entrepreneur for years.
So you conquered it, though.
I conquered it, yes. And I thought, well, now I'm in the clear. Now I got, there's no word.
That was my one word.
Right. There's no word I can't
pronounce. Until apostrophe.
Until the R word came up. Right. So I thought it might be fun to take some calls from listeners with their word. What is your word that you always have trouble pronouncing or always mispronounce? And it's a speed bump in every sentence. That's what we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. And we also found out early yesterday, Allie, that you have such a word.
I do. I put an L in the word amphitheater. Amphitheater.
There you go.
But to me, it needs to be amphitheater. It needs to, and I think if we all consciously just pronounce it that way, we can change the world.
No.
Amphitheater.
You want us to be wrong with you?
Yeah,
is
if
that
you
what
would.
You're asking?
That'd be great. Thank you.
No, let's get the actual pronunciation.
Amphitheater.
There you go.
Oh.
Amphitheater.
Amphitheater.
Oh, amphitheater.
Amphitheater.
I don't know why I'm a robot, but...
Not sure either, but I like it.
Amphitheater.
Amphitheater.
See, isn't that better?
Amphitheater.
Not amphitheater.
Sounds better.
Where did that come from? Like, why do you think it's amphitheater?
I feel like it amplifies sound, so it should be, and somebody just screwed it up along the way, and they're like, hey, where'd that L go? Too late. So I feel like it's amphitheater.
But it is pronounced exactly as it's written, though, and you've seen that word your whole life.
Amphitheater.
Yeah, there you go.
Amphitheater.
Amphitheater.
So 1-800-520-1067, want to hear your word. Here's some of the response I got on social media yesterday after I screwed up Joe Announcer?
Reciprocity.
There it is, reciprocity.
Reciprocity.
Thank you.
Reciprocity.
I heard from
reciprocity.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Reciprocity.
I heard from several listeners who have trouble with, and this is completely understandable to me because there are so many letters in the word Worcestershire. Worcestershire. Now, most of us use it in conjunction with Worcestershire sauce, right? That we put on steak or whatever.
Right.
But it's also a city of Massachusetts.
No, that's Worcester.
Oh, is it Worcester? It's not, it's not even a city. It's a city in England, then.
City in England, yes.
City in England, yes.
So now geography is also a problem with you. Pronunciation and geography. We have two sore spots.
Worcestershire, though. That's tough, right?
Well, yeah, people say Worcestershire. Worcestershire.
Yes.
Like, people cannot get it.
Well, I think some proper nouns, like names of cities and people and things like that, they can be understandably hard to pronounce sometimes.
Yes. All right. Here's one I also heard a lot of, and I've noticed that there are a lot of examples that people gave me yesterday that involve the vowel combination next to an R, like rural. Rural is a tough word.
Rural juror.
Rural juror is the toughest thing in the world to say for 30 Rock fans, right? Bobby writes in, peculiar. I can't say peculiar to save my life. That's a tough one, I guess, for him. Ellen, my word is brewery. Again.
Oh, that is tough.
Brewery. Right. I bet that's happened.
Yes.
Heard from a number of people, including Kyle. Ancillary is a word I can't say. Ancillary. Doesn't sound tough, right?
I always thought it was ancillary.
I did, too.
Oh, then okay. Then there you go.
That's another one we can put on Bean's list. Ancillary.
And finally,
ancillary.
Ancillary. Okay, now I got it.
Ancillary.
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 Ancillary?
Ancillary.
Well,
robot's getting very upset with you.
And finally, Bill writes in, I can't say the word secretary, and I have
to. Oh, that's just dumb.
Yeah, secretary.
I've heard anonymity is hard for a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
Anonymity.
Oh, that guy got it.
Anonymity.
Okay.
Anonymity.
All right. Let's take a couple of calls at 1-800-520-1067. What is your word? Apparently, I have dozens of them that you have trouble saying. Let's start in Studio City. Please, Chip, give me line 6, and let's bring Joy onto the program and find out what her problem word is. Hey, Joy, welcome to the show. Hey, Joy.
Just lost her.
We lost Joy. What was her word?
Her word was asterisk.
Asterisk.
No.
Asterisk.
Asterisk.
Oh.
Asterisk. Asterisk.
All right.
Not asterisk. What the hell's wrong with you people?
I think that was her problem too, though.
Asterisk.
All right.
Asterisk.
All right. Let's
asterisk.
Try.
Asterisk.
Yeah, but you're saying it like you're saying asshole, though, Mr. Robot. I feel like you're very judgmental.
Her name was Asterisk.
Let's go to Hawthorne.
It was Asterisk.
Line 5. Give me some Stacy here, please. Hey, Stacy.
Hi.
Hey, you're there. What's the word?
I can't say the word borrower. Borrower.
No, you can't.
And I used to work in the mortgage business. So it was a problem because I had to say it all the time.
Borrower.
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 Borrower. Borrower. Borrower. Say
yes,
it.
Mr. Robot.
Borrower.
It's hard, right? Can anybody
else
say it?
No, it's easy. Borrower.
Well, it's easy for you. What
borrower.
Can you say
borrower.
It?
Borrower.
I'm going to agree with you, Stacey, that the W next to the R is a little tough.
Oh, my Lord.
It is borrower.
Right?
What the hell?
Borrower.
Well, whatever. But
okay. All right, Stacey.
I can't say much, Stacey.
Borrower.
We're on the same page.
Borrower.
Thank you. Thank you for the call,
my
dear.
All right, Mr. Robot.
All right. 1-800-5-0.
Mr. Robot.
6-7. What's your word? We'll
Don't
take your call.
Got to.
Next on Kid. All right, getting a lot of reaction talking about words that you have trouble saying. It's just a speed bump in your sentence, like reprisis.
Oh, dear Lord.
Wow.
Hold on, Mr. Robot.
Hold on.
Reciprocity.
There it is.
Reciprocity.
Sounds so easy when you say it.
Reciprocity.
Ethan writes in, I struggle with ambiguity. I can say ambiguous without any problems, but I can't say ambiguity. All right. Here's one from Luna. Says, I keep wanting to pronounce it sriracha because that's how it's spelled. Sriracha. It's spelled S-R-I-R-A-C-H-A. So I don't know if that qualifies or not, but I never even noticed that. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start. Let's take them in order here, Chip, real quick, and go to La Mirada First Line 1 and say hi to Chris.
Good morning, guys.
Chris, what's your word?
Hello?
Hey. Yes.
It's proprietary.
I just said it.
That's a tough one for me.
You did good, Chris.
You just said it, Chris.
Try it again, Chris.
Pro- proprietary.
It's a little slow, but you're getting it.
It's kind of come out slow, or else I'll stumble over it.
Proprietary.
Yeah. Oh, see, just the robot knows what he's talking about.
He nails it every
proprietary.
Time.
Proprietary.
Yeah, he's just showing off. All right, Chris, well done. I think you're halfway toward conquering your
beard. He's a robot. He's not showing off.
Let's try Sean in Northridge. Up next, he's on line two. Hey, Sean, welcome to the Kevin DeBeach Show. What's your word?
My word is damn it. Statistic.
Statistic.
I don't know what it is, but I mean, I can be talking a mile, a word a second or whatever, just going really, really super fast. And once I get to that word, it's statistic. I have to say it as slow as I possibly can.
And what do you suppose that's about? Because that's a word that is pronounced exactly the way it's spelled. There's no secret there.
I used to not have a problem, but then I screwed it up once, and I could not say it. It just would not come out. And ever since then, it's just
mental block.
Like a brain fart.
Yeah, I feel block. Like it Every might be time. Maybe where the tongue placement in is, because tistic.
Go on.
Your tongue is at the roof of your mouth twice, and maybe it gets confused, like statistic, like that.
See? Statistic.
Yeah.
Statistic.
Statistic. Statistic.
All right.
I don't know if I said it right there.
You did. Well done, Sean. Appreciate the call, sir. Let's go to line five and down to Fullerton and say hi to Jeff. Now, I got to be honest. I think I might be with Jeff on this one, being a tough word. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. My radio debut. I'm confessing how retarded I am. I just can't say thousandths. One thousandth of an inch.
Thousandth.
Thousandth. There's too many THs in there.
It's not an S at the end. It's not thousandths.
Okay, there's too many S's at the end.
No, there are no S's at the end.
Not one.
So it starts with a TH and ends with a TH, and that trips you up.
I guess so.
Thousands.
I think it always has.
Thousands.
Okay.
Oh,
hey, but,
there you go.
Tina, I need to ask you about realistic. Realistic bothers me. Whenever you say realistic, it's not realistic, it's realistic.
Yeah, Bean does say realistic.
Oh, really?
So why can't he fix that? He doesn't know that?
So wait, hold on.
Wait, how do you say it?
How do I say it?
No, how does Bean say it?
Bean says realistic.
No, it's realistic.
Right, but Bean says realistic.
So you're saying I'm screwing up the E sound in realistic.
Yeah, you're saying as if it's R-I-L.
Well, it's like realistic.
Yeah, you're saying like it's realistic.
Okay, all right, well, good.
You just roll right through it.
Yeah. It's been a learning experience for me. Thank you very much.
A lot of people upset, Bean.
So Jeff's radio debut, and he's hounding the host. That's what's happening here. All right, let's try Ursi. That's a name I have trouble with. She's in Gardena. She's on line six here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Ursi, what's your word?
My word is amber lamp.
Amberlance.
It's ambulance.
Right.
I can't say it unless I say it really slow. So if I'm dying and I need to get to the hospital, I'm like, call the amberlance.
They're not going to know who to call.
What does she mean?
I don't know who to call. It's so bad.
Who's Amber Lance? Why does she want us to call her?
Looking at her phone.
Who's Amber?
No.
Is that her emergency contact? Amber Lance, is there an Amber Lance in the room? Amber Lance, are you here?
Ursi, good luck with that. I hope you never need one. All right. Gosh, we got so many good ones we're not going to have time to get to. We don't have time for specific, for compilation. Let's do a couple more. Let's talk to Julie Claremont, please, line one. This is a tough one.
Hi there.
Hi, Julie. What's your word?
My word is unconscionable, a horrific act, an unconscionable.
Nope.
Nope.
Okay. Say it right.
Nope.
Still no.
It's not unconscionable. It's
unconscionable. Unconscionable.
Unconscionable.
Unconscionable.
Yeah. Can't
unconscionable.
Say it right. Unconscionable.
There you go. All right.
Yeah, just don't make me say it after not seeing it many times over. I just can't get
it
out.
Just never stop saying it all day long, and you'll be fine.
Mission accomplished. Thank you, Julie. Let's do one more because I'm fascinated with Tommy on line eight. Let's see if there's any way to mispronounce his word. I don't get it. Tommy, welcome to the show, sir.
Morning, guys. Bean, Ralph, Allie.
What's your word?
I think my problem is more in line with Allie's in that I think the entire pronunciation of the word just needs to change.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're wrong, you're right.
I constantly want to pronounce the word Ontario. So, that one was the correct one. See,
right,
no
Ontario, right.
Correct.
Yeah, Ontario.
Ontario. That's Ontario's the one that I always pronounce it that way, And I usually have to think right before I say it, okay, which way is the way it's pronounced? Because Ontario just seems, well, it's so wrong.
Okay. I don't know where to start, but I mean,
Ontario is like Mario?
Ontario. Ontario. How's that not Ontario? And then.
But where does that even.
Usually when I say it, there's a pause right before I say the word.
Right, but where does that even come from? Like, did you just make that up one day? Because you've never heard anyone else say it that way.
I don't know. I don't know. How does amphitheater come up?
Oh, see, snap. Tommy, you're right. Amphitheater. That's how you say it.
Oh, if there were an amphitheater in Ontario, man, we would be in business. Tatiana adds to our discussion, I always pronounce frustrating as frustrating.
Oh, there's
my
a
friends
lot of that.
Hassle me every time. I think Kanye West is guilty of that as well. Isn't he a frustrator?
Yeah, there's a guy in The Bachelorette, too, who constantly says that.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating to see you go out with other guys when I'm waiting here for a date. I'm so frustrated. This house is full of frustration. Like,
where
stop
does that
it.
Come from?
It's laziness. A lot
How
of it's laziness.
Start,
it's
I
like
guess.
When we're talking about brewery.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work to make your mouth say brewery. So I think a lot of people say brewery.
Yeah.
Because it's just,
right.
You start running stuff together and just kind of
slop it. We can
just put
an asterisk by all these words.
It's not an asterisk.
Asterisk.
It's an asterisk.
Asterisk.
So you
Come
say.
On.
No, no. So everyone should say.
I knew a guy in Ontario who had a lot of trouble with that.
Ontario sounds like a planet that Captain Kirk and Spock would visit in the third season.
He just wasn't being realistic. Hey, Jonah Ray is here. He'll join us.
Sure is.
Coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday. What's happening?
Hey, if you're like me and you like a good dose of crazy now and then, just it's the kind of thing I like to watch because I like getting angry.
What is happening?
Don't you like getting angry sometimes?
No.
When you watch somebody who's really bat-ass crazy, kind of
no.
makes
like
you...
like hate watching?
Yeah, like
yeah,
hate
I do hate watch some shows.
Like Stacey Dash. Are you familiar with Stacey Dash?
Sure.
She had one movie.
Yeah,
Clueless. 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, she keeps inserting herself in the conversation.
Yeah.
For some reason, she's become the bat-ass spokesperson for bat-ass crazy right-wingers.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah,
right.
She's African American, and she was the one who said they should do away with February being African American History Month.
Mm-hmm.
She said the Oscars shouldn't try to represent all different people.
Yeah.
She was anti the Oscars so white campaign.
Yeah, she's gone very, very far to the right.
Well, she's got a new book out. Apparently, she's going to be on The Talk today. And she was on Entertainment Tonight, and they talked about it with one of her chapters in the book where she talks about the situation with transgender people using bathrooms. This is still a thing, I guess, to some people.
All right.
And how much she considers it tyranny by minority.
To use the bathroom.
Right. Her interview was so special, I brought in some audio. Here's Stacey Dash.
It's tyranny by the minority. Why do I have to suffer? Because you can't decide what you want to be that day.
But is it a decision?
I would think so. It's your body. Mm-hmm. So it's your decision, right? We all make choices.
I guess a lot of people in the transgender community would then say, it is who I am, and yes. I don't choose to be one way or another. It's who I am.
Okay, then go to the bushes. I don't know what to tell you,
but
I'm not going to put my child's life at risk.
She's not... First of all, go in the bushes,
right.
And then she's not going to put her child's life at risk.
Right. Well,
plus, why should she
was
have to
suffering,
suffer?
Too.
Right.
She was suffering.
And I think she has a point, because this rash of transgender children murders in bathrooms...
Oh, it has gotten out of control.
It's insane. It's about time we took a stand against all the transgender child murders that are happening in restrooms.
I know I would like to stop suffering.
Throughout the world.
What is wrong with this lady?
She's a special kind of crazy. So if you want to see more of it, she'll be on The Talk today. You can check that. I wouldn't recommend watching The Talk to anyone usually,
mm-mm.
but I might have to record this one to get my get a daily dose of hating on the crazies.
Has she gotten a call from President Trump yet about a place in the administration?
I believe she's going to be Secretary of the Interior.
Okay.
Yeah. Taylor Swift still can't keep a man. That's in the news. She and Calvin Harris have called it quits after... A glorious relationship that was well-publicized and milked for every last publicity moment from Taylor.
They seem sincerely to be in love,
mm-hmm.
Ralph.
They did seem like that.
Look.
She said in the May edition of Vogue that their relationship was positively magical. Aww. I suppose it was, because Now you see it, now you don't. Somehow she made it disappear.
Aww.
She put it behind the curtain, and voila! It was gone, and it ain't coming back. So, that is kind of magical.
But let me ask you this, and I know that you're predisposed to dislike Taylor.
Because she's awful.
When you're 26 years old, sometimes you date somebody for a year, and then you break up and you move on. Is that so unusual? Is that so noteworthy?
No, not at all.
But here's the thing. If you know that's a potential, if that's a possibility, maybe you don't go to Vogue magazine and talk about how magical it is and how your relationship is so wonderful and it's better than everything else. Maybe you say in your head, well, this I'm 26 and this thing may or may not go the distance, so what I'll do is I'll just keep it to myself.
So share less so that the fall is
less public. Well, don't go for the hard sell and tell us how wonderful everything is. And then the truth is you're just like everybody else, so stop it. It's not magical. It's just a relationship.
Okay. I think that's reasonable.
I think so, too. Plus, Taylor Swift is awful.
I don't think that's true.
Something we can all agree on. She's just
I still want to know what happened, though. I want to know what we're all... I did read...
Do you really?
What possible difference could it make to anyone what went wrong?
I'm interested in what's going on with my girl, but I will tell you that I was on the forensic files yesterday trying to track down as much information as I could, and apparently he did end it with her. So
yes, of course he did.
But why?
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
You think Taylor's a lot of work?
Oh,
really?
Lord.
Yes,
really. Like
even
in,
you, someone
in
who
all
likes
seriousness.
Her, even someone who likes her as much as you do, you would need to recognize the intense high level of maintenance it would take to be with her.
I guess I hadn't really thought about it that way. She just seems like she's super fun.
I can't.
She's a regular girl, Allie.
I can't.
She's just a girl looking for a boy, waiting for a moment, standing in front of her.
That was very close.
Saying.
But almost.
Hi there.
Well, sure.
Saying, show me the money?
Nope.
No?
Oh,
no.
You're very different.
I got to work on that. Today's celebrity birthdays, Charlie Watts. Rolling Stones drummer, 75 years old.
Where do you rank him, Ralph? He's got to be top three, four of all time, I would think.
I would say top three rock and roll drummers. Yeah. I mean, although he was never like a flashy drummer. He was never like a Carl Palmer or Neil Peart.
Peart.
Not a hard hitter like John Bonham.
Right. I mean,
Keith Moon, of course, comes
to mind. Not as flashy as those guys, but in terms of like a steady rock and roll backbeat, you'd be hard pressed.
Yeah, he's pretty terrific.
Than Charlie Watts. Dennis Haysbert, 62 years old today. Dana Carvey, 61. Andy Cohen from Bravo's show that he has. What People Are Talking About.
Watch What Happens.
Watch What Happens. That's what it's called. 48 years old today. Wentworth Miller is 44. Wayne Brady's 44 as well. Zachary Quinto is 39. Dominic Cooper. I love Dominic Cooper in almost everything he does. He's, of course, in Preacher now. He was Howard Stark in the movies and in Agent Carter. He also did a miniseries about the life of Ian Fleming, the man who created the James Bond character.
Yes, he was great in that.
Who was actually in the intelligence service during the Second World War, and it was a story about Ian Fleming's spy adventures. It was very entertaining.
Was it a biopic?
It was a biopic.
Oh, shoot.
How many words do you get wrong? Justin Long's 38, as is Nikki Cox Moore, and Marina Baccarin is 37. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jim Rome talks sports in 1 hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew Pinsky next hour, and then world premiere music from a young man named Beck, who will be joining us in studio at 9 o'clock today as we play his new song called Wow. That's coming up. First, though, guys, it's Jonah Ray back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, my third time.
I know.
The host of the Nerdist podcast, of course, The Meltdown with Jonah and Kumail. How you been, man?
I've been really good. I've been busy, and after this, I'm going to Portland to be back with my hipster people. Every once in a while, hipsters have to go back to the hub and regenerate.
Sure.
The stubble grows out. The glasses get a little thicker.
Right.
I was surprised. I was thinking about you this week, Jonah, because, of course, I was catching up on the episodes of What You're Here to Promote, the Hidden America show, which is so funny. And I was looking at you, and I was thinking, how are you not on the flag of Portland, Oregon? You look like you should be born and raised Oregonian, but you're from Hawaii. How does a Hawaiian end up looking like such a big hipster?
I don't know, and I've tried to figure it out. But you know, when I was in fourth grade, I was told I had to get glasses, and I thought, at my, that point in my life, when you're told you get glasses, that means you've been bestowed. You're a nerd.
Right.
Like,
sure.
I thought that I didn't think people like wanted to be nerds. I didn't think people like wanted to. I was like, it's like, well, it's been chosen.
Yeah. Nerd be thrust upon you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pele decided that I was going to be nerd. And so I had glasses. And so I started wearing colored shirts. I started wearing, plaid. I started not combing my hair. That was just out of laziness as I got older. But I come out here, and I was called an emo kid in high school, and then I got called an indie rock slob a little after that, and then all of a sudden the term hipster started coming at me, and the thing about a hipster is that they'll never accept the fact that they are a hipster, because I can always look at some guy, I can go to Silver Leg and go, no, that guy's the hipster with the culottes and the Crocs.
So it's been a tough journey for you as the world has changed. You've stayed looking the same since fourth grade, but the world has built everything, a whole culture around it.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. It's just hard enough being a straight white male in this world.
Right.
On top of that,
no one likes you.
Oh, no.
No one's got any time for straight white males anymore.
This white guilt is crushing me. But the privilege is nice, though, in the end.
That's the upside, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you were a punk rock kid. Were people not eager to accept you as a punk rocker?
The punk rock scene in Hawaii was so small that the community was so tiny that they kind of accepted all the weirdos, and that was what was pretty great about it. And that's what was great about, punk rock in general. And that's kind of, that's what helped me even just through punk rock and stuff like that is what helped me get to Los Angeles, because I was able to meet people while going on tour with bands. And then there was some friends, from like Rhesus Records, like this band Toys That Kill was down in San Pedro, and they said, hey, why don't you come and live with us? And so kind of, there's that connection. So, no, I never had a problem. Being a white guy in Hawaii of my size, that's the problem. And like,
you stood out.
You are a huge man.
Yeah, I'm a big old howler.
Yeah,
and
must have been like an infant Tarzan being raised in the jungle. The other animals looked at you and said, "What is this creature? We'll raise it as our own."
It was with the bad part is though, it's like my family, like my dad's brown. My dad's from Hawaii. His dad's from Hawaii. They're brown. All my family are brown. My mom's white, and I got her skin.
Yeah,
and so my brother, he's dark. I'm white, and so I would have to like explain to people, like, no, I'm Portuguese. Technically, we were the first wave of immigrants, and you got to understand.
Punch.
Yeah, punch, slap.
Right, then you've lost them.
Yeah.
How old, I know we have a lot to talk about, but I'm just so fascinated with your journey, Jonah. How old were you when you moved to the mainland?
I had just turned 19.
Oh,
I just turned 19, and I moved over to Santa Monica for a little bit, and I was going to SMC for just about 3 weeks, and then 9/11 happened, and I thought the world was going to end. So I said, "What am I going to try and do anything?"
And who needs education?
Yeah, who needs anything?
We're all gonna burn.
Yeah, so I just was working at a record shop in Venice Beach and going on tour with bands and stuff like that.
Was it a tough adjustment for you getting off the islands, or did you take to the mainland pretty easily?
Well, it was weird, feeling like not sticking out. That was a weird part. And it wasn't too bad. It was lonely, if anything, just because I didn't really know too many people. And you're really coming from a small town in Hawaii. It's like any other kind of small town, but carve it out of the earth and put it in the middle of nowhere. And you lose road trips and like, yeah, so it was kind of odd, just this infinite idea of where I could go anywhere. So I found myself like driving down to San Diego or Seattle. I would just go, I would drive everywhere because I could.
Because you could.
Yeah.
I know this question has been asked a million times, but why is there an interstate in Hawaii? I've never understood why that's part of the interstate highway system.
Oh,
well, it's because Eisenhower set it up, and it's really the only thing we had going. There's a lot of things Hawaii didn't want to do.
That was one of them.
Yeah.
Bean would like to go through all of them.
Yeah,
we could.
All right, one more question.
You want to pull out a map, Bean? Is there asking some questions?
One more question. If you're going to talk about Hawaii at all, it gets real sad real fast.
Does. Okay. All right. So now we have you in California and hanging out with the punk rock kids. How did you get in with the comedy kids?
Well, I was working at the record store, and it was what I wanted to do. It was like always the idea of was to do comedy, and I didn't know how. I thought I was going to be kind of an improv guy, and then I took a, you know, an intro class of Groundlings, and it was, you know, terrifying. And the teacher there told me that I wasn't funny. And I just kind of retreated back. And
they
then
still cashed the check, though, didn't they?
I'm sure they did. Yeah. You want to try and learn? Here, give me so much money.
And let me insult you.
Yeah. And what it was like, you know, I wanted to do it, and I didn't – I thought I was going to find a group to do it because I was used to being in bands. And then my boss at the record store, Ron Benway, he's like, you know, you should just go and do an open mic. Go and do it by yourself. And so, you know, I would look in the LA Weekly. I found an open mic at the Ha Ha Cafe in North Hollywood, which I haven't been to since.
But still exists.
It's still there. Yeah, I drive by. Yeah,
me too.
And it's I just looked in the paper, signed up, and just started going to as many open mics as I could. And there was at the time, you know, comedy in L.A., there wasn't much. There was like one decent open mic a night, if that. And so you'd see all the same people at all the same shows. And then I was doing an open mic, and Scott Aukerman came up to me and said, "Hey, you're really funny. I'm about to start doing this show at this place called the M Bar," and that was the show that became Comedy Bang Bang, Comedy Death Ray. And that's kind of, you know, I just was in this kind of groundswell of the L.A. alternative scene that kind of swooped up again, for lack of a better term.
Wow. So you found like-minded white people to hang out with.
I sure did, Bean.
And the rest is history.
It was so nice. Returned to your own kind, finally. Yeah. Lord Greystoke went back to the manor.
Yeah.
All right. Joe DeRay is here. We got to take a quick break. Of course, you know, we love him from The Meltdown, from Nerders Podcast, and Mystery Science Theater 3000 coming this summer. And
can't wait for that.
Can't wait to hear about that. The show is called Hidden America with Joe DeRay. It's on CISO. We'll explain what all those words mean with our guests when we return right after this on K-Rock. We are catching up with our friend Joe DeRay here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Has a new series that is called Hidden America with Joe DeRay, and all the episodes are out today on a platform you may or may not be familiar with called CISO. Jonah, please explain.
Isn't that your job?
Yes, it is.
Do you want me to explain the show or the platform?
First of all, let's spell it. S-E-E-S-O. Yeah. CISO.
If you see something, say something.
Nope. I learned from your show that it is a digitally integrated multi-platform entertainment service. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think so. I wrote that in because I thought it sounded technical and funny, and I don't know if it really makes sense. But those are some of the terms I used to hear when I worked at, like the E Network or G4. It's like, we really got to vertically integrate these viral video platforms.
Micro spool back the anti-gen.
But essentially, it's like, you know how you have an app where you go to your computer for Amazon or for Netflix? It's another one of those. It's another platform for entertainment.
But it's for comedy primarily.
It's comedy. It's got a lot of, like, a huge library full of stuff. It's got all the Monty Python episodes, specials, and movies and documentaries. They've all been remastered too.
They look amazing.
They look so good.
Yeah. So much British humor on it.
Yeah.
A lot of British. If you're into that, and you should be, this is the place to go.
Yeah, like, you know, Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, the IT Crowd, Man to Man with Dean Lerner, Nathan Barley, which is a very overlooked, beautiful classic. And it's also got, like, new stuff like my show and then Kulat Vilayasek's show, Bajillion Dollar Properties.
So good.
Yeah. So, basically it's Netflix, but for comedy.
And right, Hidden America is basically your take on the Anthony Bourdain-style sort of adventure shows where you go around and visit local cultures here in America.
Yeah, definitely. I'm obsessed with Bourdain and all of his shows. But I also noticed that since he's gotten so popular, there's this influx of other guys that aren't as smart or interesting.
Low-rent Bourdain?
Yeah, and they think they can do it. They have this narcissism in their head. They're like, people won't see me eat food. You know? And so I like the idea of playing with that with the show. And it was a lot of fun traveling around and using, you know, a lot of my favorite performers. Ralph, you show up in the Denver episode.
The Denver episode. Mm-hmm. We had a great time doing that.
That was a blast. You play the proprietor of a haunted hotel.
Denver's most haunted hotel.
Yes. Yeah. And
let me ask you about that, because the show is very, very funny, and clearly some of the stuff isn't true. But is that Tiffington Lodge or whatever, is that a real tourist attraction in Denver that claims to be haunted?
No. All fake.
It's all made up.
All of it is fake.
Let me explain to you how television works. Somebody gets an idea, and then they write a script
about something.
Some of
the places
something.
That Joda goes are real, though.
Kinda.
It's a parody show,
Bean. But the people aren't real, Bean.
But I like to think that I did such a good job of parodying.
Bean was fooled.
Yeah.
Kevin Meaney is the nicest man in
Boston. Yeah, that wasn't too far off.
That was not.
Yeah, but he lives in Connecticut, so. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun to do. It was just like, even like the guy who was like coloring the episodes, he was like, man, this is – like, he was talking about a restaurant in the Seattle. He was like, it's like, Frazier's. That's so crazy that that's an actual place. I was like, it's not. He's all, no, no, no. You went to – was it closed down? I was just like, no, it's
a hard time separating fact from fiction.
Yeah, it's a, it's, and then it's like a testament to the original dream of the show was like someone to be flipping around on TV and then just kind of go, oh, travel show, mm-hmm. and yeah. then be confused and then turn it off, which is, I don't think, a good business plan for my career.
But you don't turn it off because it is so funny.
Yes.
And the people that you meet, it's one of those shows that you literally have to watch twice because so many things are said that are hysterical that you just pass right over because the next joke is coming.
Thank you.
And they're not jokes, though. It's just hysterical.
It's little Thanks. Sketches of humanity
oh,
that are
I love
just
it
insane.
So much.
And you go down a rabbit hole. You start watching a show, and then there's a plot line, and then there's a second storyline and a third storyline, and just they all weave together. It's really beautifully
so
done.
Good.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
So is Denver a real city?
Yes, that much is true.
I don't know. Ask some of the people there. They're not too they're, you know, kind of thrown off by the whole city right now.
I guess the confusion Bean is having is that you did go to these cities to shoot each of the episodes. It takes place in the city you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the way we've been trying to describe is it's a travel show where the places are real but the people are fake.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Ralph, I have a clip that's entirely too long, but I couldn't cut it because it was so funny, of one of your scenes in the hotel in Denver awesome. With Jonah. You want to set up your character and what's going on here?
I play the manager of the Tiffington Hotel, which, as I mentioned, is the most known as the most haunted hotel in Denver.
Can I stay there?
No, it's not real.
Oh, okay.
And so Jonah is, you know, he's exploring Denver, and he comes to stay at the hotel, and he cannot wait to have the paranormal experiences that are promised in many of our brochures at the hotel.
Sometimes the website,
yeah. But perhaps delivered on less effectively.
And in this scene, Jonah has just come down in the middle of the night to talk to your character who's working at the hotel desk and complaining about the noise in the room next door.
Mr. Ray.
Hey, someone is watching TV really loud in the room next to mine. I think the walls are really thin.
Ah, the voices of the spirit world.
I don't think it is. I think it's a TV. It sounds like Seinfeld reruns.
The story is that Mr. Tiffington longs for his wife who survived him. Elaine!
Okay, yes, it didn't sound like that. It sounded like, Elaine! That's the Seinfeld.
Mr. Ray, I assure you, your Seinfeld reruns are actually the mournful wails of the eternally damned. They're damned.
Yeah, I get that, but if they could just keep it down. I'd
so very damned.
There you go. You got the same kind of surly Ralph Garman that we deal with every morning.
Damned.
We're at the hotel.
It was great. It was really awesome. And like the fun part of that was like that's a runner throughout the entire episode where in the end it turns out that it's just a crappy hotel.
It's a poorly run hotel.
Yeah.
Really. And they blame everything on the ghosts.
Yeah, it's like the Wi-Fi's out. Oh, wow. It must be the icy fingers of death clutching the broadband.
It's only cold water in my shower. Oh, yes, they've started already with the icy waters of
so
damned.
Hit in America with Jonah Ray. You can get it on CESO, S-E-E-S-O, and he goes to Boston and Chicago and Seattle and San Francisco and a bunch of other cities. It's a very, very funny. Is the goal to do another season? Would you, Jonah?
Well, the goal is always to make more money and get more famous.
All right.
Bean, I think everyone can agree. I want to do more for sure because I think there's much more to explore. And I really just want to do an episode in Reno, which I find to be the saddest city in the Union.
But it's the biggest little city in the world.
Sure, it's already got a complex walking into it. I'll show you who's tidy. I'm Reno.
I'm big,
I'll tell you. You don't need Vegas. We got Lake Tahoe nearby.
Silver!
All right, Jonah, before we run out of time here, sir, there are rumors that footage from the new Mystery Science Theater 3000, of which you are a part, will be screened at Comic-Con. This summer. True or false?
Oh, wow, what a scoop for me as well.
news
for me. I mean, it's possible. I mean, there's still some time. We're in the middle of writing it, and it is a lot harder than I thought it would be as a kid.
Really?
Yeah. I had no idea that the concept of the show of a guy being tortured watching bad movies is also what you have to go through to make the show.
That's true.
You're just like crawling through these movies that are just filled with cheesy badness. It's insane. It's a lot of deep
hurting. Those guys that you grew up watching made it look easy, and now you realize how tough it is.
I have so much more respect for all those guys, more than I ever did. Which is hard to say. It's just insane how how much work it is. But it's great because we got so many great riders. You know, we got Matt Oswalt, Tammy Golden, Elliot Kalin from he was the head writer Daily Show with Jon Stewart for a long time. He's the head writer, and it's a great group, and I'm really excited.
When do you guys start shooting? If you're just writing now,
it's supposed to be what I heard maybe September, but maybe we're going to do some kind of promo stuff if there's going
to
be.
Yeah,
some
that'll be
footage.
Weird to see it in July.
Yeah, man, then that means I've been drinking way too much. If there's footage
well,
already,
they're shooting without you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I need to tell you, but you've been fired.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. They could just get any comic from, like, the Chicago area, and no one will know the difference.
Right. Well, we're excited about that, and we're excited about Hidden America. Get it on CESO, S-E-E-S-O. Jonah, great to catch up with you, my friend. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
A melody softly soaring through my atmosphere.
Hey!
No.
I don't think that would work, Chip.
Come on,
Chip. Nailed it.
What's wrong with you? Listen to this, you guys, for reals. Prophets of Rage, their second concert ever, tomorrow night at the Hollywood Palladium. We've got tickets you can win next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's a hot ticket right there.
It's a good deal.
Right? Also, Jim Rome talks sports coming up. First, to India we go. A hospital there is treating a boy who was brought in at 18 months old, a year and a half old, and his parents said, you know, something doesn't seem right with this kid. He's a lot taller than the other kids. And, oh, yes, he has full-size genitals.
Yeah. And he had facial hair and body hair.
Body hair, facial hair, and full-size genitals at a year and a half old. Yes. This is apparently a very rare condition called precocious puberty. Does not happen very often. 1 to 2 boys in 100,000 will get something like this. And usually those that get this condition get it much older than this infant is. Usually you're 8 to 10 and all of a sudden out of nowhere you start developing, going through puberty. This kid was going through puberty, started going through puberty when he was a year old.
That's crazy.
It's got to be very distressing for his parents. And obviously I don't know what the future is going to be, if eventually he'll just grow into it and everything will be fine, or if he's going to have a lot of troubles throughout his life. But we asked producer Dave, who can we talk to in India about this story? And he did not put up who we are talking to in India about this story. So let's just go to the phone and find out who's on the line. Hello there.
Hello there. How are you, my friend?
Oh, now, are you the little boy's father?
No, I am the little boy.
I am
Vabhav.
You're Vabhav, the 18-month-old?
I am.
Wow. I guess I'm...
Nice to meet you, my friend.
Yes, I'm taken aback by your very deep, luxurious voice.
I know. It's crazy, right?
It's very luxurious.
Wouldn't you like to lay back on my voice like a crushed velvet comforter or a king-size bed?
Not the right description
it's
of your voice.
It's the weirdest description.
So, Vibhav, what is this?
Hey, back off, big man. Just because I'm going through puberty doesn't mean it's okay for you to come on to me.
No, that's not what I'm doing.
You're
at all.
You're creeping me out, man.
No, not at all. So what happened? When did you start to realize that things were different for you?
Well, one day, my mother was changing my diaper, and I looked down and like, holy smoke, look at that. I am blessed.
Yes, you would be very surprised to see full-size genitals at your age, of course.
I was very surprised, but also very pleased.
Yes, I'm sure you were.
Because I am the biggest penis in the playground, I'll tell you that much.
Well, I don't doubt that. The doctors say that your testosterone levels are as high as that of a 25-year-old.
You've got that right, brother. And you, at nap time, I'm like, look at this. I am pitching a pup tent.
Well, I guess so.
And the
other
kids are like, oh, I poop in my pants. And I said, I have a pony in my pants.
Right, yes. Yes, you are physically very advanced compared to the other toddlers, right?
Yes, I am, and the ladies love that, I tell you so much.
Now, what's it like for you when you're out with your parents and they've got you in the stroller and...
I'm rolling deep in my stroller, bumping my tunes.
Right, but then passers...
Now the little girls are looking at me. They know what I'm packing.
They do, yeah.
That's right.
You're 18 months old.
Sorry, don't stop till the diapers drop, right?
No.
So passersby would look in to see this cute little baby, and there you'd be with a full mustache and beard.
Yes. I say, look at me. I am a full-grown baby man. I am puberty baby.
You are puberty baby.
Nice to meet you. And they say, you look like a werewolf. And I say, it's okay, because you don't know what I'm packing in my purse, my friend.
See, I feel like you're putting a lot of your value into just what's going on downstairs.
Sounds like somebody's insecure about what they have downstairs, is all I'm saying. I am living the life, my friend.
Okay. So what's the future going to be for you, Vaibhav?
Probably taxi driver or 7-Eleven.
Oh, fine.
That's racist.
It is.
Jim Rome on sports. Then your tickets for Prophets of Rage, Dr. Drupinski, and Beck with brand new music. That's a pretty good hour and a half coming up here, still to come on the Kevin Bean Show, right?
Pretty here soon now.
It's good.
Yep.
it's good stuff right here about now.
Pretty
long
soon,
time.
Here,
him.
Come one of these days.
7:54. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
I'm giving things away.
Are you now?
I am. I have passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of a terrifying new film called The Conjuring 2.
Yay!
If you saw The Conjuring, then you know that the story is all about Lorraine and Ed Warren. True-life paranormal investigators played by Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson. They both reprise those roles in The Conjuring 2. This time they have to travel to North London to help a single mother who's raising four children alone in a house that, you know, sometimes you live in a house and it's plagued by malicious spirits.
You are all going to die tonight.
I know what that's like. I had roof rats once. Mm-hmm. Very similar to malicious spirits.
Mm-hmm. Plus you were the manager of that hotel.
The Tiffin Hotel, right.
Yeah.
Bean's confusion over reality and fiction really starts to scare me.
It's so delightful.
It really,
Denver
it starts,
is real or it's not
starts
real.
Starts to blur together for him. Very he asked confusing. Me yesterday. Remember, he said, "What? Why are you in the Denver episode? You don't have any connection with Denver." Like, I'm an actor, and they asked me to play a role in a show
he was really
about Denver.
By it.
Do you think?
I don't get it.
Do you think Larry Hagman really was an oil man in
well,
Dallas?
Yeah, he was.
No,
he was. I saw it on TV. Oh.
Do you think Julia Louis-Dreyfus really lived next to Jerry Seinfeld?
She's the president of the United States. I will not have you besmirch her like that.
He's starting to lose his grip on reality.
It's true.
Anyway, this show, this movie, is in theaters everywhere on June 10th, but we will be giving you tickets to see it at the AMC Burbank on June 8th. You'll see it before everybody else. So why don't you give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers at that phone number get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of The Conjuring 2. Taylor Swift is now alone. That makes me happy, right? That's a good thing. I don't know what makes me happier, that Taylor Swift is now alone or that Calvin Harris got free. That he got over the wall. He made the break. They have called it quits after 15 months of what Taylor's called a positively magical relationship.
So are you doubting everything about this relationship now? Do you think there was never a time that they were young
that it was
and
positively
in love
magical
and happy? You don't think there was ever a time they were happy?
Nope.
Okay.
I think maybe she was happy part of the time. But not him.
Then why did he date her for a year and 3 months?
Right?
No, I'm asking you.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
If he didn't like her, if he wasn't happy with her.
Why don't the people at the Personality Center leave Scientology, man? Because they can't. It's mind control.
He was in her grips.
Yes.
All right.
And he had a car accident on May 20th, and I think he said, life's too short.
Oh,
I had a near-death experience. The last thing I'm going to do is spend my days with this. And he saw the light. He's like the Leah Remini of Taylor Swift boyfriends. Another Scientology
weird,
reference.
Yeah.
I heard that she was at his side to help him recover from the accident.
I bet she was.
Fine, how do you do that? Then turn around and break up with her.
She's like, were you thinking about me when you crashed? Were you playing my music? So she kept turning the whole accident back around to her somehow.
And you know, I like Taylor Swift.
Oh, do you?
Beyond cute. Uh-huh. She's really tall.
Right.
You know? She's not going to go for me, that's for
well,
sure.
Well, she might. Aww. Now that she's single.
She's single, Rodney. I'd give it a shot. Hey, great news, Kardashian fans. Rob Kardashian now gets his own reality show on E!
Of the Sock Empire?
The Sock Emperor, Rob Kardashian, will be starring or co-starring in a very cleverly titled show on E! Called Rob and China. The story of Rob Kardashian and Black China. They will have their own series as they prepare for the birth of their first child. And cameras will be there, I'm sure. Near her hoo-ha when the birth happens.
Do you think that they are too far out in the Kardashian orbit to be of interest to fans?
Listen, I have stopped trying. Yeah, I've stopped trying to anticipate what the taste of the audience is that watches the E! Channel.
I can't. I'm confused. I'm stunned.
Well, they've got to get this rolling, because isn't she about 6-7 months pregnant?
I don't know how far along she is. I really, really don't know anything about the family on purpose. So, I don't know.
We'll see. Intentional blind spot for you.
They're doing a 6-hour-long episode, so I guess they could just start shooting this afternoon and have the whole show wrapped by midnight. They could just knock it all out in one day if they wanted to. And Chris Brown's daughter, Royalty, had a big birthday party over the weekend. She entered the party on a pony. Right. Elsa, Anna, and Olaf were there. The cake that she enjoyed cost a whopping $10,000. $10,000 cake. She's two, by the way.
Sure.
Oh. Just wanted to let you know. She's two. Everyone was having a good time. They all played games, including Chris Brown's favorite game, Whack-A-Mom. That was also enjoyed there at the party. So, oh, you're right. My bad. He doesn't hit women. What am I thinking?
Does.
Okay. Today's celebrity birthday is Charlie Watts. 75 years old today. What was that song? It keeps running through my head where that guy had that line, banging on the drums like Charlie Watts. There was a song that had that lyric in it.
Keep going.
That's all
does
I got.
Does that sound familiar to me?
Does.
I'm trying to look it up for you, though.
Banging like Charlie Watts. I want to say it's
Tub Thumper?
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not Tub Thumper. It's a guy, singer-songwriter, not John Wyatt. John Hyatt?
John Hyatt.
I'm being told
sure.
It is John Hyatt.
It's a John Hyatt
oh,
song.
I love John Hyatt.
Yeah. Huh. Anyway, that was a weird tangent, and I apologize. He's 75 years old today.
Slow turning.
Slow
the name
turning.
Of the song.
There's a lyric in Slow Turning.
Now you know.
Yes.
Well done, Ralph. Good pull.
Thank you. Dennis Haysbert, 62 years old today. Dana Carvey, 61. Andy Cohen from the Bravo Network is 48 years old today. Again, I'm sure he's very talented. I'm not familiar with what he does, but he talks to people, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like a talk show.
He tells you what happens next.
Okay. Wentworth Miller. He's a psychic? That's awesome. Wentworth Miller. Prison Break. Captain Cold. Leonard Snart.
Nope. It's not real.
It is real. Len Snart is a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
Just talking about Captain Cold. He's 44 years old today. Wayne Brady's 44 as well. Zachary Quinto. Mr. Spock in the rebooted Star Trek world. 39 years old. Dominic Cooper, one of my favorite actors. Howard Stark on Agent Carter and in the movies. Preacher, currently on television. He's dreamy. 38 years old. Justin Long. Very funny, talented man. He's 38 as well. Nikki Cox Moore. Jay's wife and talented in her own right. She's 38. And Marina Baccarin celebrates her 37th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We'll tell you in moments how you can be at the Prophets of Rage show tomorrow night at the Hollywood Palladium. Stand by for that. But first, look what time it is. Look what day it is. That means our friend Jim Rome from the Jim Rome Show joins us back on the Kevin and Bean program here on K-Rock. JimRome.com. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Bean, Allie. Not you, Sanchez.
No.
What's going on?
Cut Dave out of the situation. You know, Jim, we were talking right before we brought you on about how the NBA Finals are getting ready to start tonight, Oracle Arena in Oakland, after that miraculous comeback from Golden State against Oklahoma City. And we were talking about how even with all the great basketball that we've seen up till this point, we can't get excited about the Finals because we don't really care who wins. How about you?
Bro, outstanding attitude. Outstanding attitude. We just grinded out like 9 months of meaningless games to get to the series that we all wanted, and we finally have it. Hell yes, we care about this.
We do care.
It's
okay.
Awesome. It's a great matchup. So, for instance, let me help you out with this.
Please.
It is the same two teams, but it's far from the same matchup because last year the Cavaliers were without Kevin Love for the whole series.
Right.
Kyrie Irving went down in game one. Now they're both back. They're healthy. They've added Channing Frye. These Cavs are no joke now. They're healthy. They're rested. They're loaded. They're dangerous. And that's why I'm going to give them the respect of saying they will lose in seven.
Oh.
good series. Great series. It's exactly what we all wanted. Adjust your attitudes, people.
Okay. All right. So it's us. If we're not excited about this, the problem is us. Okay. LeBron James going to his sixth finals in a row. That is exceedingly rare in professional sports, right?
It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. However, and that sets up one of the really interesting things about the series, too, like, who's the guy? Steph Curry was making the point of saying, you know, it's really annoying having to hear who's the face of the NBA. Don't bring that around here. I don't want to see that. But in reality, that's what they're playing for, the face of the NBA and legacy. It's either Steph or it's LeBron, and the stakes are extremely high. Right now, I could make an argument for either one of them, but at the end of this series, we'll know who the face is. Annoying or not, we're going to know. And that's another reason why y'all should like this series, not hate on it.
I remember when we spoke with you 1 week ago, and I believe it was right when Golden State was down 3-1, and I asked you, what are the likelihood that this team can come back? And you said, Jim, something that proved to be very prophetic, which is, if it were any other team, I would say they are done, but I will not count out the Golden State Warriors because they've got it in them to come back and win the next three, and they did it.
I'm pretty smart like that. I'm pretty prophetic. Hey, listen, I can't say that I knew that was going to happen, but they're a different group now. They have this kind of rap about how they're soft and they're finesse and they shoot the three-point shot, but they're really not that tough and they don't have that kind of grit or metal. Can I tell you something? They were down 3-1 to a team that ran right over one of the best regular season teams ever. So these guys may look like they're soft and they play finesse ball, but they're not, man. They're hardcore. They're gangsters. The Warriors. I love them. They're skilled. They're tough. They're good guys, which is not to say if the Cavaliers aren't, but this is a good, good thing. Have I talked you into it yet?
You really kind of have, to tell you the truth. I'm excited. Now, last question on this, and that is, after the phenomenal effort that it took to come back and win that last series to get to the finals, is there a little bit of a let up in adrenaline and energy at this point, or are they going to be able to regroup for tonight and start all over again?
No, this is what these guys do. I think they're emboldened by it. I mean, in one sense, there's kind of a quick turnaround, and the Cavaliers have been laying out, and they're getting their rest, and they're feeling pretty good about themselves. And all of a sudden, we're turning around, and game one is tonight. But this is why they play the game, and this is why they're here. These guys have no excuse at all. They'll be fine. That's going to make them tougher and better when the Cavaliers really haven't proven anything in the postseason.
All right. Let's turn our attention now to a sex scandal in college football. This is what's going on at Baylor. I have to be honest, I have not been following this story. It's not my world like it is yours, Jim, as closely as you have, I bet. What's going on with this, and is this a disaster for the school?
Yes. Yes, it's a disaster for the school. It's a bad, bad deal. So let me very quickly try and lay this out. There had been reports of multiple assaults involving football players. And for the longest time at Baylor, nobody did a damn thing about it. I mean, they really didn't seem to care. They probably never would have, except an outside firm was brought in. They investigated the school and the athletic program, and the findings are really, really ugly. So the school had no choice but to own it, sort of. Like, you get the head coach, Art Briles. He was suspended with intent to terminate. The athletic director is out, and the school president, who you may know, is out, sort of. Kind of. This is bonehead Ken Starr.
He actually is
going to stay and teach at the law school, but he still says things like Art Briles is an iconic father figure who's a genius. So, you know, what we have here, once again, is winning and stacking cash means everything, and the safety and the health of the students means nothing. The crimes are sickening, the cover-up's even worse, and the fact that some of these losers aren't owning it is despicable. It's a bad, bad deal.
There's one player where a woman went in to say she was sexually assaulted by him, and someone at the school said, "You're the sixth person to tell me that."
And what did they do about it, Allie?
Not a thing.
Nothing. Not a thing. And not only that, not only were they doing nothing, but actually there was some retaliation.
They were actively covering it up.
Yeah, they were actively. Look, the cover-up's always worse than the crime, and these are some of the worst crimes ever, and the cover-up's worse. But even worse, I mean, there was actually some retaliatory actions against some of the victims. It just it goes to show it's the power and corruption of big business, big sports. And they will just look the other way. As long as you're winning, just keep your mouth shut and keep stacking the cash. It's a bad deal. It's disgusting.
You mentioned Ken Starr as a name that some of our listeners may know. Some may be too young to know, but he was the lead investigator against the sexual abuse charges against President Clinton. He was the guy who ran that investigation, basically. And now people are saying, oh, isn't it interesting? Now he's got something just like that going on under his nose, and he's ignoring it because it makes the school money.
Hey, look, I understand, like, fans that are totally out of touch and fans that really have no lives and fans that live through their football program. But you're talking about this guy, a pedigree guy like this guy. He sounds like one of those fanboys, like, Art Briles is an amazing man. He's a leader of men. We're here to save people. No, you're not. I mean, come on. You're here to keep this party rolling and to keep making money and winning games. So if that guy doesn't get it, you know nobody will who's at that university.
And it's, the fact it's that they're keeping
thing.
Him on to teach, to still collect a paycheck
from the
school. It's,
that's
beyond despicable.
All right, final question, and that is, what does this mean for the program going forward? Are they going to be censured by the NCAA? I know a lot of the people who have already pledged to go to the school have now taken back their letters and said, nope, I'm not coming to play for you, and that'll hurt them, at least.
Yeah, and by the way, the school has not let them out of those letters of intent yet, so anytime you want to do that, you can go right ahead. Here's the thing. Like, for instance, we didn't learn anything from the Penn State scandal, obviously, but if you want to look at an example, the NCAA hit Penn State with an extended bowl ban, a loss of scholarships, and a big fine. But then again, that really didn't have an impact on anybody else, much less Baylor. So the NCAA should hit them pretty hard. You know they're not going to penalize themselves, but I really don't think it's going to change anything. That's the depressing part about this. I don't think it changes anything at all.
No. And I think it happens at so many schools.
I think you're right.
All around the country. And it's just, it's so disgusting.
It is sickening. Absolutely.
I don't want to say that I know for a fact that it happens everywhere or in a lot of places, but I can guarantee you this. It's not the only place where that's going on. You know that.
Talking to our friend Jim Rome from the Jim Rome Show at jimrome.com right now. Final item, Jim, for you that I wanted to get your take on is NFL players cannot be pleased to find out the Pro Bowl is no longer going to be in Hawaii. How are they going to feel about spending that week instead at Camping World Stadium in Orlando, Florida?
I'm guessing not very happy about that. You know what that is? Being the Pro Bowl is like the prostate exam of the sports calendar. You have to deal with it every single year. You hate it. It's awkward. It's even a little bit humiliating. And every year you ask yourself, how is there not a better option?
Right.
So I roll out one morning in May, and I see Pro Bowl trending. It was like the doctor jumped out of the bushes with a rubber glove and a tube of jelly. As always, can we get this thing over with really fast? To answer your question,
they're
going from Hawaii to Orlando.
The bushes?
Well, you got to do what you got to do to get through it, you know? Allie, don't change the subject.
Sorry.
Hawaii to Orlando. So you take a place where everybody wanted to go,
right,
and then you replace that with a place that nobody gives a damn about.
Right.
I guarantee the players don't. They can't get the good players to go to a place where they want to go, so how are they getting anybody to go to a place where they don't want to? What I'm saying is you might be going to the happiest place on earth, but it's still the crappiest game on earth.
Yes. Now, are you allowed, if you are selected to the Pro Bowl, are you allowed to decline?
Allowed to. It's almost mandatory at this point.
Okay. All right. So look for a lot fewer stars than in Orlando next time.
I say the Pro Bowl is the worst thing to happen to O-Town since O-Town.
Oh, O-Town.
Some girls' hearts out there with that one, Jim.
Blonde one.
3 hours of
The blonde one.
Sports Talk Radio, 9 to noon, jimrome.com. It's the Jim Rome Show. We'll talk to you again next Thursday, my friend. Thank you.
Go Ducks.
Prophets of Rage Bean.
Prophets of Rage. Thank you, Chip. We're giving away these tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for you if you are a fan of any of the three bands involved in the supergroup. So you know your Cypress Hill, you know your Rage Against the Machine, you know your Public Enemy. This is a music game. If you feel pretty confident that you know their music and you want to see all five guys in the Prophets of Rage on stage at the Hollywood Palladium tomorrow night, then call us right now. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game next on K-Rock. Gotta be honest, Allie, I'm still a little tingly after the visit from Prophets of Rage on Tuesday morning.
Tingly?
Yes, meaning really? That it was so fun to have all of those guys in one room. Three
it
guys
certainly
from Rage
was,
Against the Machine.
But when you say tingly, I think in your man part.
No, not at all.
I think everyone listening
No. I'm just saying it was a thrill and it was an honor and it was a privilege and to have the great Chuck D on the show. It was just so much fun. Prophets of Rage are a super group, my friends. They are playing their second show ever and it is going to be tomorrow night at the Hollywood Palladium. Now check this out before we give away tickets. Tickets are going on sale this morning at the Hollywood Palladium box office at 10 a.m. We have been told that Be Real and DJ Lord are both going to be there at the box office this morning helping sell tickets.
By the way,
yes,
Be Real's birthday today.
No kidding.
Bring him a cake. Happy birthday, Be Real.
Happy birthday, Be Real. Be Real and DJ Lord themselves from Prophets of Rage will be selling the tickets themselves starting at 10 o'clock this morning at the Hollywood Palladium box office. The show is tomorrow night, but we are going to give you some tickets you can win right now at 1-800-520-1067. It's the hardest game in the world, part two.
In a world where some games are easy and some are really, really hard, one game will rise up and shock the world, proving once and for all it is
The super duper hardest. Yeah. From the feeble minds of Kevin and Bean, the producers of The Hardest Game in the World, comes a game so hard it will make you your pants. K-Rock Radio, in association with 20th Century Lemur, presents a really, really hard game starring Hardy McDifficult and Tough Von Baffling. It's The Revenge of the Son of the Hardest Game in the World, Part 2, 2.0, The Wrath of Hard and the Goblet of Fire Reloaded. Music by Eddie Money, soundtrack available on Really Hard Records. Rated PG-71. No one will be admitted after the start of the game.
Okay. Music by Eddie Money.
I think we're out of time now, but let's welcome Mr. Announcer Man to the show. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Kevin and B.
Now, I take it from some clues in the intro that this game is not going to be easy for the listeners on hold.
It's the hardest game of the world, part two!
All right, tell us how this one's played, sir.
We will play for you a clip of a song by Public Enemy, Rage Against the Machine, or Cypress Hill.
All right.
All you need to do is identify that song.
That sounds easy.
Sounds real easy.
Oh, wait a minute, I forgot. It'll be backwards!
Yay! Holy moly, that does sound difficult.
It's the hardest game of the world, part two.
Part two, right.
No, Revenge of the Son of the... Oh, you heard it.
We heard it, right. All right, who's our first contestant, please, Mr. Announcer Man?
First up is Callie from Redondo Beach.
Hey, Callie, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning. Longtime fan.
Appreciate that. Hope you win tickets for Prophets of Rage. Hollywood Palladium tomorrow night is going to be amazing. We can only play the clip for you one time. This is going to be a song by either Public Enemy, Rage Against the Machine, or Cypress Hill. It'll be backwards, though. You have to tell us by title and artist, what is this song, Callie? All right, what do you think?
Killing in the Name of Rage Against the Machine.
I'm sorry, no, this time it was Fight the Power by PE.
Fight the power! Fight the power!
Oh. Nice try, though, sir. I appreciate that you had a guess at the ready. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
He fought the power, and the power won.
That's correct, yes.
Next up is Greg from Whittier. He has no job.
Hey, Greg.
What's up?
Well, at least you don't have to...
Holy moly on this one. Wow.
To you as well. All right. We're going to play it one time backwards. What song is this by title and artist? Good luck. That one kind of sounds the same forward as backwards.
Oh, my God.
What do you think, Greg?
Dr. Green sounds like it.
I'm so sorry. This time it was Bulls on Parade by Rage.
Right around the family.
Mr. Announcer Man, this game is not easy.
It's the hardest game of the world, part two.
Well, we do want to give away some tickets. Let's try again. Who's next?
Next up is Luis from L.A.
Hey, Luis.
What's up?
How you doing listening on hold? You been playing along?
Yeah, I got the first one. Still kind
okay.
of tough,
though. All right. Let's see how you do. Title and artist, please listen up. What say you?
Oh, God. I want to say Cypress Hill.
I'm sorry. No, it was Bring the Noise by Public Enemy. No.
Bring the Noise!
All right, Mr. Announcer Man, how you feeling?
This game may be too hard.
Because
it's the hardest game in the world, part two.
It certainly is, but are you feeling good about our next contestant?
I'm not. But
well,
let's go to Ernesto from La Puente. He's a Marine Semper Fi.
Ernesto,
good morning.
First of all, thank you for your service. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. We really do need someone to win tickets to the show tonight. Can it be you?
I hope so. I'll try my best.
All right, listen up. Here's your song, title and artist. What do you think?
How I can just kill a man?
Yeah!
Yeah! If you want to get something done, you ask a Marine to do it, right?
It was something he could understand.
Exactly. Well done, Ernesto. All right, now we're on a roll, Mr. Announcer Man. Who's next?
Next up is Mark. He's from West L.A. He works for Life Alert. I've fallen and I can't get up.
How are you, Mark? You ready to play?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. All right, Hardest Game of the World Part 2. Listen up. We'll play it one time for you backwards. Title and artist, please.
Oh, yeah.
I got that one. It's Killing in the Name.
Bye.
Killing in the Name by Rage.
There you go. Well done. All right, I think we got time for one more, Mr. Announcement. Play for tickets at the Hollywood Palladium. Again, they go on sale this morning at 10 a.m. at the Hollywood Palladium box office only. It's going to be a great show. Who's our final contestant?
Last up is Francisco. He's from East L.A. He's a truck driver.
Hey, Francisco.
Hey, what's up?
I want you to be a winner, man. You're our last contestant. Listen up. Here's your song.
Insane in the Membrane.
Yes! You're going to the show.
Insane in the Brain!
Everybody get your tickets at 10 o'clock at the box office. Thanks, Mr. Announcer Man. One of the highlights, as they always are, at last month's K-Rock Weenie Roast, Fits in the Tantrums. How great were they? How great are they always?
Always.
Love those guys. Love that song. Love that album. Great to hear Fits here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've got new music from Beck coming up in about 20 minutes or so. He'll be joining us in studio as well. But first, though, it's time to catch up with our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky from the HLN Show and the Dr. Drew Midday Live with Mike Catherwood on KABC and DrDrew.com, all of his fine family of podcasts. How are you, Doc?
Good morning. I'm great.
Great to have you on. There was a case that was brought to my attention. I think Ralph brought this to my attention recently about a woman in Massachusetts who was suffering during her first trimester of her pregnancy with a crippling case of something you've heard of that I haven't, called hyperemesis gravidarum. And it made her severely nauseous.
Right. Well, he's vomiting constantly.
Vomiting constantly.
We just sort of shorten it just to hyperemesis. And okay. It's all in the name. Constant vomiting.
Crazy dehydration, and one of the options that she considered was medical marijuana that so many people use to combat nausea. But in her state, even though Massachusetts makes it legal to use marijuana, she couldn't because she was pregnant and she was worried about the baby being taken away from her if it was discovered that she was using pot. And this has brought up a whole new bunch of questions from people about what is and is not acceptable to put in your body if you are pregnant with child. What's the research like, for instance, Dr. Drew, on smoking pot while you're pregnant?
The research is woefully inadequate. Again, as I've said many times, people are so hysterical about bad drugs. These are bad drugs. This might be a very useful drug during pregnancy. Hyperemesis is a potentially life-threatening problem for the baby and the mom. So even if there are certain risks associated with taking a medication, in this case that medication would be cannabis, those risks might be worth it. The problem is we don't know the risk because people are so insane when it comes to doing research on a drug that everyone has deemed as bad. And again, I cannot say frequently enough that what I don't understand. Vicodin is good. Alcohol is good. Pot is bad. Heroin is bad. I don't understand. I'm confused by all of it. It's ridiculous.
Well, what we need, Drew, is to get a ton of pregnant ladies just to smoke out, right? I mean, that's how we find out what goes on. Let's just encourage pregnant women to smoke, and then we'll see what happens.
It's a great trial.
Is that Ralph?
Yeah, it's me, Drew. What's
isn't there a Guinness chapter here, too, with your wife?
Yes.
King of Mexico was telling me.
Yes.
Like, that was a new one on me, too. But
you never heard of Guinness for pregnant women?
No, I've not. But let me just frame this conversation by saying, personally, I am exquisitely, I'm sort of a perfectionist when it comes to pregnant women. I advise them to expose themselves to nothing. If you're having a normal, healthy pregnancy, do not ingest anything. We don't really know the full impact of even a Tylenol. Anything that crosses that placenta gets into the child. This is such a delicate time. When the DNA is open and the child is developing, particularly early in the pregnancy. So just to frame this conversation at the outset, don't take anything. But if you have a potentially serious problem for which something could be helpful, we should at least know whether it's helpful. So it looks like now, finally, they're going to do some experimentation on pot. And the risk, and again, what dose is okay, what dose is not okay, is none of it okay? We just have no idea. But I'm going to predict that it'll turn out that some of it's probably a reasonable thing, particularly for something like hyperemesis.
Some people are recommending a vape stick in the hoo-ha. Is that true? Is that what I've heard?
We're getting into Ralph's weird practice.
Yes. Dr. Drew, all right, we do know that cigarettes are 100% terrible for fetuses, right?
Well, they're 100% not good for fetuses, and yet many of us Allie, didn't I hear that Dave the King of Mexico told me your parents smoke and drank all the way?
Absolutely, and I'm fine.
See, this is proof positive.
Gentlemen, see what I'm talking
about? No, see, my mom didn't know she was pregnant with me for a good 7-8 months. So,
gentlemen, case closed. You see what I'm saying?
Listen, she's not bright. She's a nurse.
Let's talk about alcohol. Ralph, tell me, the story that the doctor alluded to, it came from her doctor while she was pregnant, right?
Her doctor meeting my wife?
Yes, your wife's doctor is the one who advised her to drink.
Yeah, she was anemic, and she had low iron levels in her blood. And he said, if you want to, you can have one pint of Guinness, and it's got full of
it's
B vitamins and iron and stuff. And
yeah, he's right. That's right. He or she is right. And I would not, again, you're advising something that's a qualified risk in the setting of a problem that is also a risk to the child. And so that makes some sense. Late in the pregnancy, oftentimes people would advise a glass of wine if there's some preterm labor. It tends to quiet labor. Again, they're trying to, it's always a risk. People understand this idea of a risk-benefit analysis. I mean, it's why I can't get behind a lot of recreational substances, because the risks are there with not real benefits, at least not from a medical perspective. But here's a situation where there's a medical problem in the middle of a pregnancy, two lives that potentially impacted and in jeopardy. Yeah, you need to take some sensible risk, some measurable risk.
And part of the reason there isn't much data on things like smoking weed while you're pregnant is because no doctor wants to encourage a woman to do that just to see what happens, right?
No, well, you can't do that. I mean, the more problem, the insane part of all this, and what you're asking me is what makes me upset, is that for the last how many decades we haven't been able to do any research on marijuana because there's been a moratorium on it, because everyone knows that's a bad drug. We can't even touch it for research, which is insane.
It is insane.
It's insane.
It is absolutely.
Physicians should be able to do safe, properly vetted research with a human subject analysis, and we should be able to tell people what the risks and benefits are of a medication that might really be useful to them. But because, we have this insanity in our culture about considering some drugs good and some drugs bad, we've restricted our ability to expand the armamentarium against what could be really problems for people who are pregnant.
And I feel like it's something as simple as not saying smoking weed during pregnancy. Given an edible in a pill form, it changes everything
with the
perception.
Or, once again, vape stick in the hoo-ha.
Or
right?
A vape stick in the hoo-ha, right. which is how she got into this mess.
That's just called the garment effect. But be that as it may.
I would be such a good doctor.
It's funny, I did a Good Morning America thing on edibles. Somehow edibles are up in the public, in the vapors again, in the conversation. Of course, the problem with edibles is you really don't know what people don't, aren't accustomed to dosing themselves. When you're smoking pot, you feel the effects immediately, and people can only smoke so much. With edibles, you put in whatever you put in, you're gonna absorb, and it can be nasty. Dave King of Mexico said he doesn't walk. He can't walk after he has a pot brownie.
Wow.
So he can barely walk sober,
very
though,
lazy.
Drew.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Very lazy.
All right. DrDrew.com is where you want to go for all things Drew, including his great series of podcasts. Look for him every weekday afternoon, Monday through Thursday on HLN at 4 and Dr. Drew Midday Live with Mike Catherwood on KABC from noon till 3. Have a great one, Doc. Thanks for the time, sir.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye. We're going to get you qualified for the K-Rock Festival Flyaway 2016 Destination Number 2. This is the Reading Festival in England with dozens and dozens, maybe 100 bands, I don't know, including 21 pilots, and we'll qualify you by giving you tickets to see that band at the Honda Center. That is coming up. Also, brand new music from Beck, and Beck joins us in studio right after Ralph's Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday.
I'm so excited.
For?
One of my favorite TV shows ever has been renewed for not one, but two seasons.
Tell me.
Peaky Blinders?
Not Peaky Blinders.
Oh, dear God, with the Peaky Blinders.
Cake Boss! Yeah, Cake Boss is coming back for an 8th and 9th season.
You don't really watch Cake
Boss. TLC has given the green light for two more seasons of Buddy Valastro and his crazy bunch of family members in that crazy bakery.
I would put money down that you haven't watched a minute of Cake Boss in 5 years.
You will lose all of your money. How much money you want to put down?
Really? Well,
how much money are you putting down?
Well, you've kind of already told me that it's a losing bet, so maybe you should back out now.
No, that's against the law.
How often do you watch Cake Boss?
Now you're in breach of contract.
It's a thing you came across one time and you thought, oh, that's amusing, and never thought about it again.
Have you seen the cakes they make?
No, I haven't.
I'm more of a Duff Goldman Charm City Cakes gal. Than Cake Boss.
Is he the ace of cakes?
Yes.
The cake ace?
Yes.
Oh, Cake Boss would crush Ace of
no,
Cakes.
No, he really wouldn't.
I'm more of a more of a Chaz Duffy from Scarfin USA fan.
Oh, Scarfin, love Scarfin USA.
That's my show.
Kookaboo.
All right, so why? So Cake Boss is coming back, and we're excited because why?
Because we get two more fresh seasons of Cake Boss. And this what's is better people, than fresh cake?
This is people baking, right? That's what this show's
about. Oh, you don't even know, man. Buddy gets in there and he makes cakes that move and the mechanical cakes and cakes that come to life, dance.
I don't think.
I might have been drunk during that one, but.
And will they ever get the cake to the location?
It's pressure. Oh, it's a lot of pressure. My daughter's getting married this weekend. Where's the cake? Don't worry. We'll get you your cake on time. Why? I'm the cake boss. And he is, too. He is the sweet-ass cake boss. He is the boss of cakes.
I cannot tell if you're joking.
You're missing out, lady. You and your ace of cakes.
Ace of cakes rules. Duff Goldman for life.
I think Ralph's having a laugh here. I really do.
No, cake boss.
Open up a blog.
Right.
Do you watch this because you're so impressed with the quality and the caliber and the creativity of the cakes?
They're luxurious cakes. Not the quantity and the caliber of cake.
Happening,
what is that? Are you just? Did you get a word of the day dictionary or something?
No, I'm
just throwing out random adjectives that have nothing to do with the subject of the sentence.
No. Those all were appropriate words for what my question was, which is there are two kinds of people who watch the show. There are people who watch the show because they're seriously into baking and they're looking for inspiration and ideas. Hey,
no,
I'd like to try that.
I don't bake.
Okay, so
I like watching experts do whatever
amazing
it is
things
that they may do. I am impressed by excellence. I get so little of it during the week, in my work week. I like to watch it on the weekends. I watch other people do their job well.
A guy who's an incredible welder, you would go, wow, is he good with the welding tools?
Once again, excellent example.
Great example.
And I'm just a bad example. Like this.
I love Weld Wars. Yes. Weld Wars on TLC is one of my favorite shows.
All right. So Cake
Boss, I think anything done well can be impressive.
Okay.
And all something right as mundane as something we take for granted, like a cake, if you can make that interesting and do interesting, novel things with that, if you can make cakes of high caliber, then yes, damn yes, I'm interested.
Taint Wars.
Right? That was another good one.
Who had the best taint? Do you remember who won Taint Wars?
I can't remember who this year's taint champ was, but... you remember Lean on Me, the movie with Morgan Freeman?
Sure.
Great film, right?
Mm-hmm.
He played the tough principal at a dangerous high school, and he turned the kids around.
Mm-hmm.
You must learn how to read, I think he said at one point, or something to that effect.
Very similar, yeah.
You may not know this, but East Side High in Paterson, New Jersey, where that film took place and where the story of was based on, is where Fetty Wap went to school.
Yeah.
Fetty Wap went there.
He stopped saying Fetty Wap.
Fetty Wap! So, in order to give honor to his alma mater, he went back there to shoot the video for his new single, Wake Up.
Fetty Wap!
He shot it at Eastside High there in Paterson, New Jersey.
Fetty Wap!
And the school was thrilled to have one of their alum come back praise Eastside High and to put it back on the map, and they were very, very happy until they saw the video.
Oh, no.
Yeah, apparently they did not realize that the video has copious drug references, a teacher using an apple on her desk as a bong, and several half-naked women dancing on poles in a classroom.
Well, what are you going to do?
Eastside High apparently less happy with the end product than they were with his initial request to film a video there.
Speaking of principals, vice principals on HBO, have you seen the trailer for that show?
What just happened?
With Danny McBride?
I don't know.
What just happened?
Allie's like doing her own segment.
Morgan Freeman was a principal of that high school, so I was thinking about the show Vice Principals.
You can stop now.
Wow.
I'm going to head home.
And a lot of people excited about the upcoming Captain Marvel film, largely because it will feature a woman as a lead in a superhero movie. Now, Captain Marvel is a Marvel character, not to be confused with Captain Marvel Shazam from DC. Different Captain Marvels. So this Captain Marvel, of course, started out as Ms. Marvel, Carol Danvers. Now she's Captain Marvel, a Air Force pilot by day, Captain Marvel superhero alter ego by night.
I'm a nerd.
And it's been a high-profile battle
sure
regarding casting as to who will play Captain Marvel, and it looks like, although
Sarah Abramson,
no, she dropped out. Emily Blunt was one of the front runners. Olivia Wilde was also talked about for some time. And that looks like Brie Larson.
Fetty Wap.
No. Brie Larson. Kevin, we're off that story. Brie Larson is rumored to be the lead candidate for the upcoming Captain Marvel film.
No,
well, she can play anything, right? She's a great actress.
Great actress, yeah.
Will this ruin any childhoods, or are people okay
no,
with
I think people will be all right with this. Odds are she will be introduced in another Marvel film, like Avengers 3, before doing a standalone Captain Marvel film. But I think she's a good choice.
I hate to ask, Ralph, because you're going to think I'm an idiot for not knowing this. Oh, but when DC introduced a comic book character with the word Marvel in its name, was that some sort of publishing rivalry shot across the bow? Or is it just a coincidence or what?
Captain Marvel existed long before even Marvel Comics existed.
Wow, okay.
Oh.
Captain Marvel was originally published in Fawcett Comics back in the late 30s, Fawcett Comics. Alex over here doing jazz hands like Bob Fosse. Fawcett Comics in the late 30s, early 40s. And at one time, his popularity eclipsed that of Superman, believe it or not. His sales were better and he was a more popular character.
What is a nerd?
But so DC then appropriated the rights to that character years later. But he predates Marvel Comics, so there really isn't much of an issue there.
I'm sorry, I don't speak geek.
However, there was a legal battle over the name of Captain Marvel, and for a long time, DC Comics had to refer to the character in its titles of its comic books as Shazam. They titled his adventure Shazam and did not use the name Captain Marvel in its titles because of the legal wrangling that was happening.
Nerd alert! Nerd alert!
So are you glad you asked now, Bean?
That's the Shaq movie, though.
That's Kazam.
Oh,
it's very different.
I cannot keep up.
Today's Beck is waiting to come in.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, someone give him two turntables and a microphone, so we'll be right with him. Today's celebrity birthdays. Charlie Watts is 75 years old today. Legendary Rolling Stones drummer. Dennis Haysbert, 62. Remember Major League?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
He played the voodoo-worshipping batsman in that.
Very funny arc on Brooklyn Nine-Nine this season.
Oh, he was great as the funny FBI guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dana Carvey, 61. Andy Cohen of Bravo is 48. Wentworth Miller turns 44. Speaking of comics, he, of course, plays Leonard Snart.
No.
Captain Cold in Flash and Legends of Tomorrow. Wayne Brady's 44 years old today. Zachary Quinto's 39. Dominic Cooper celebrates his 38th birthday. My buddy Justin Long is 38. Nikki Cox, married to our buddy Jay Moore, as well as being a talented actress, 38 years old. Marina Baccarin is 37. And B, Mother Lovin' Real.
Yay!
Celebrates his 46th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hi, it's Beck.
I'm a loser, baby.
Giddy up, giddy up. Ladies and gentlemen, Beck is back and in studio here on the Kevin Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. How are you, Beck?
I'm great. How are you?
It's been a long time, my friend.
It's been a while, yeah.
I was thinking about you. We had the K-Rock Weenie Roast.
We have some memories together. We did.
That's exactly what I was thinking about. We had the K-Rock Weenie Roast a couple of weekends ago, and I was thinking about, you know, it's the last one at Irvine Meadows. They're getting ready to tear that place down, and so we've all been kind of nostalgic and thinking back to the great shows over the years. And the first time we ever met you was 22 years ago at the Weenie Roast.
I remember it well.
Yes. No, you don't.
I do. I remember Ed McMahon in combat boots.
That's correct.
Walking around.
Ed McMahon was there.
Yeah.
Henry Rollins was there.
I remember him there.
I remember Henry Rollins doing push-ups before his set. And then Ed said, I want to meet Henry Rollins. And we were like, I don't know, maybe now's not a good time.
What is happening with this story?
So Henry Rollins bounced up. Ed's like, hi, I'm Ed. He said, hey, nice to meet you. They had a nice conversation. Ed walked away. Henry Rollins went back to the push-ups.
Amazing.
And by the way, I remember this, Henry Rollins was legitimately excited to meet Ed McMahon because McMahon was a war hero. You know, he was like a fighter pilot too in World War II. So he was just attracted to that. Yeah. Who that was? Violent Femmes, I remember.
Yeah,
I think Boingo. I think might have been on the bill. Yeah.
And I remember being asked to go into the bushes to be interviewed by somebody. Yes, into the bushes. So I'm sitting in these bushes behind the stage.
Are you positive that that was somebody from our station?
It was not. It's
just the guy in a white panel van?
It was Sofia Coppola. Which is another random memory.
It sounds like we're playing Mad Libs.
Right?
I remember another time when we did a breakfast with you.
Yeah.
Was it Henry Ford?
Yeah.
Henry Fonda. Henry Fonda.
Henry Ford.
Ford.
No, it was outdoors.
It was outdoors. Yeah. And all I remember is Beck, while singing, ran up into the woods. And I was like, is he gone? I don't know.
He had to do an interview with Sofia Coppola.
He was in the woods with Sofia Coppola. I don't know, but you kept singing. And then you kept, I don't know. We have a lot of strange memories with you.
I remember getting heat stroke that day, too.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. It was very hot that
morning.
Don't
advise hiking and performing at the same time.
Well, I got to be honest. From our point of view, we didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
So a lot of weird things happen when Beck is around. Did you ever imagine, Beck? So that first time we met you 22 years ago, you were a young man in your 20s, and you were had your first album out or first and a half or whatever. Yeah. Did you think, if I would have asked you then, are you singer-songwriter, career man for life, would you have imagined that this would be how your career would have unfolded?
I didn't think I had a picture of how it would go. It's one of those things where I've been playing music for years, so I knew if, you know, songs on the radio went away and that kind of thing, or record deals, I would still be playing music.
You could still play music,
right. Yeah, I mean, that's the way, you know. I never looked for a record deal. You know, I never really chased that thing, and it kind of came my way, and I embraced it and went with it, but it was never the driving thing for me, you know.
You know, I there's a thing that Woody Allen has said over the years about his films, because he is incredibly
I love that.
Incredibly prolific filmmaker. He makes a movie every year, and he really doesn't even pay attention to how well they're received or what awards they win or how popular they are, because the work is enough for him, and that's what he enjoys doing, and the rest of it is just superfluous. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad.
Yeah, that's such a healthy way to look at it. I don't know if that's the way I necessarily look at it, but I aspire to that, you know.
I mean, you certainly don't pay attention to musical trends. Like, what's popular now doesn't necessarily translate into the music that you feel like making.
I think I have a weird, I tend to go the opposite, you know. Yeah, I tend to get pushed away, even if it's something I like, even if it's a trend I really...
You enjoy that type of music, but if it's too popular, you want to go a different direction?
It feels redundant at a certain point, you know. But
so we just heard that new song, Wow, that I want to talk about from a forthcoming album that we know very little about. But what are your expectations in 2016 when you release new music?
I have no expectations. It's such a strange time, you know. You can't – I couldn't predict the reception on the last record at all, you know.
The one that won you the album of the year at the Grammys, that one?
Yeah. Cause it's a singer-songwriter record, very personal, quiet. I think I don't think there's any songs in that record that are faster than 60 beats per minute. I mean, it's
right.
So, I really have no expectations for any of the songs.
This song, you do say the words giddy up.
Yes,
8 times in a row,
I just thought, you know, it was one of those things that was just, most of this song was completely off the top of my head. I didn't write any of it. It was just I was fooling around in the studio, and I didn't even mean to release it.
In the studio in your basement?
It was.
Is that true or not?
I have a house that I rent.
House, okay.
I have had studios in the basement.
You have,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you didn't sit down and write this song.
No, I was working on another song. It came up with the riff, and then I just started freestyling, I guess, as they say.
Elephant in the room goes boom.
Mm-hmm.
Smiling like a lime doing jujitsu.
Oh no! Standing on your lawn.
Oh,
see, there you
go.
Well,
that makes more sense.
Okay, can I say one thing?
Yeah, please.
If you look up my lyrics online, they're all completely gibberish. Completely wrong.
We had somebody try and transcribe the lyrics for this, clearly they got it wrong as well.
Exactly.
A girl in a bikini with a Lamborghini Shih Tzu?
Damn, those elocution classes.
Like, not right again, huh?
Not yet. That's not.
Okay, so you're freestyling WoW, and you're just having fun. You're doing it for your own enjoyment. Like you said, you're not. It's not planned. You're not doing it for a reason. Do you wonder? The human brain is so mysterious. Do you wonder where the Lamborghini comes from, where the bikini comes from, where the beat on the lawn comes from? It's weird, right?
Yeah, it's so weird. It's so weird. I mean, I just think it's being open and you're just taking in all the, especially now with, you know, the, you know, social media, and there's so much imagery and ideas coming all the time. And, you know, so I think that tends to come out in the music. Especially on the more hip hop tracks, they're a little bit unfiltered.
What about the album? Is there an album plan?
Yeah, there's an album.
There is. Okay.
Yeah, it's almost finished.
It's almost finished. When does it come out?
Yes, I don't think there's a date yet, but it's coming soon.
Soon meaning like
it's one of those things where I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say. You know, there's so many rules now about when.
Do you have a date
out.
In your mind that it's going to come out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. How many songs are on it?
I think there's about 12, 13. There's some in contention at this point.
Is WoW representative of any of them?
WoW is a little bit of an outlier. I did most of the record with my old keyboard player, Greg Kirsten, who's, you know, now a pretty well-known producer. And we've been working on this for about 3 years. So most of the records stuff I did with him.
3 years, wow.
And we did the song Dreams, which came out last year, so I think...
Wonderful song.
Oh, thank you.
We still play that a lot on K-Rock. Yeah, wonderful song.
A lot of the record is in that vein, I'd say, and it's we were thinking a lot about the live show and, you know, playing festivals and that kind of thing.
You think about that when you're writing and producing
the
song?
Yeah, and especially when you're touring Morning Phase, where the songs are really slow,
right.
And you're at a festival, and people are like, okay, let's, you know. So, you know, it'd been... quite a few years since I'd done a record like that, you know.
I read that you were working with Niles Rodgers. Is that true?
We did a festival last year, and then we did some stuff in the studio. And I mean, it's just classic Niles Rodgers. I mean, yeah.
How much stuff do you have that doesn't fit an album?
Oh.
I mean, you have a
miles,
lot of...
Miles, yeah.
Miles?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
I mean...
That's how you measure music, Kevin, is in miles.
Miles of stuff. I imagine you as a guy who has just clips of stuff and ideas and stuff everywhere.
Yeah, there's too much, really, to make sense of. But even this record, I mean, I think there's probably... What's going to be out is probably a quarter of what we did.
Wow. So. We're talking to Beck here on the Kevin Bean Show about his upcoming new album and his new song that we played this morning called Wow. We were having a conversation last week on our show about what the hell Bob Dylan is up to these days. He just put out his second Sinatra covers album.
Right.
And look, far be it from me, just a fan of his, to tell him what to do with his time. But I feel like he's only got so much Bob Dylan left on earth, and I want Bob Dylan songs out of him. Yet this is what he's doing. And I wonder, you know, it's got to be, I'm not sure how to phrase the question, but I mean, do you feel like you have a responsibility to do a certain thing because you have the talent to do a certain thing?
Yeah, it's a tricky thing because I think a lot of times the thing that you're good at as an artist is the thing that you start to gravitate away from because it almost seems too easy. I don't know if that makes
sense.
I mean, I'm sure there's artists who go, no, this is what I do, and I just do it over and over, and it's a safe.
There are a lot of those.
It's a safe thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And I know for myself, you know, if something's easy, I tend to not do it, and I take it for granted, even though that may be a valid thing or probably the best thing you do. Like, the sort of singer-songwriter acoustic thing is really, that's my natural default kind of way of making
music.
But
what if you're just awesome at that and you're moving away from it?
Yeah, so something like Wow is a real challenge for me. That's going into, you know.
It was a challenge for us listening to it.
Exactly. So, you know, and I think, I don't know what that is. I don't know the psychology of that, but I think that's in play probably with a lot of artists, you know.
Yeah. With your permission, sir, we'd like to take a quick break, play it again, and come back and talk some more on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Great.
Let's do it. Beck is here a few more minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about, among other things, his new single just premiered earlier this hour called Wow here on K-Rock. Beck, by the way, we haven't seen you since you won a bunch of more Grammys, including the Album of the Year for Morning Phase. What does that mean to you? Does it change anything for you, or are you already at a point where you're so established that it's just a statue to put on a shelf?
It's surreal, you know, and I think it meant a lot because... There were certain odds on the last record, you know, things that I was working against. And, you know, I did that record on my own, so it was kind of, you know, it was a real friends and family and coming together and trying to do something. And it felt a little bit, I mean, I was completely shocked by that nomination. So that
just
right
by
there,
the nomination itself.
No, I mean, everyone I work with, my family, we were just like, wait, what?
Your family said that? At least your family should lie and go, yeah, of course.
No, we were, you know, it was just, it seemed preposterous. But, you know, I think the last thing I had won was maybe 98 or something. So, you know, I wasn't really expecting anything at all.
I have to ask about this because also since the last time we spoke, we've lost some legends. And I particularly wanted to talk to you about Prince because I know what a big Prince fan you were.
Oh, man, yeah.
Did you ever get a chance to meet him?
He presented me with a Grammy.
Okay.
The Album of the Year Grammy. So that was actually the biggest moment of that night was him giving me that award.
It wasn't you winning the award. It was him giving it to you.
Well, I gave him a hug, which I know is probably the only place that would ever be allowed.
Right.
And it probably was not okay, but somehow on stage I knew it was my moment.
Because what can he do? He can't run. He's on stage, on camera.
And you know, it was one of those overwhelming moments, and I just reached out and hugged him, and afterwards I felt terrible. I felt like maybe that was invasive, and I've had friends who've been on tours, you're not supposed to look at him, and this and that.
Is it just his pain? He was painfully shy?
I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm sure different people would have different answers. But I was happy. I finally looked at the picture after he passed, and he had a big smile on his face.
Oh,
his
good.
Big grin. If you see all the right, photo, good. And that just
that put
killed
your mind
me.
At ease, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that just killed me.
I wonder how much he that knew meant. about your music. Would Prince would jam out to Deborah, right? Yeah, he would have to.
It's funny, I was at an awards thing once years ago, and I was walking past him with his bodyguards, and my wife hit me and said, did you hear that? I was like, what? And she said, when Prince is walking by, he went, hi, Beck. But he whispered, so I didn't hear it.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I
Are
never really
Are you positive
got
that your wife wasn't making that up?
No.
Okay.
She was pregnant, so she might have been,
lots
I don't
of
know,
hormones.
Could have been hormones, you know.
David Bowie, you worked with Mr. Bowie.
I did some remixes for him,
mm-hmm.
And then we were talking for a period of time about maybe working together. Yeah, I don't know if it was due to his health or he just wanted to have time with his family, but I had hoped that someday we'd be able to do something.
How remarkable was that last album from him, by the way?
Oh, it was incredible.
Incredible. I mean, as sick as he was, to be making some of the best music of his entire life in those final weeks, it's chilling to think about and so sad to think about what great music we won't get from him because he passed so young.
Yeah. It's too soon.
Yep. Well, I'm not trying to bring anybody down here.
No. Just,
you know,
congrats.
Well, we have a great artist in. It's nice to talk about other great artists.
And I think you have to appreciate those who are here, you know, and we can't take any of them for granted. You know, we have some legends.
We've still got Limp
Among
Biscuit.
Us.
We
yeah.
do still have Limp Biscuit. That's true, Ellie. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
Who do you love right now, Beck?
Of new artists?
Yeah, whoever.
I'm kind of into everything. I mean, I think I've always been that way. You know, I'm listening to jazz, to folk and blues, to newer bands, you know, to, you know, the stuff I grew up with, you know, Prince, David Bowie, Stones, Beatles.
Keep your
Dylan.
Ears open, kids. There's everything out there, right?
Yeah, and the new stuff, you know, and I've toured with some great.
You strike me as a car seat headrest guy.
Yeah, I mean, we tour with Tame Impala and Father John Misty and people like that, you know.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, before you go, you got a huge summer. You're doing all sorts of traveling, all sorts of festivals. You're playing the Governor's Ball in New York City tomorrow night, and then you're heading off to everywhere, right? You're going to playing festivals here, going to Europe, going to Asia.
Yeah.
You are just kissing the family goodbye. See you Christmas.
Is that exciting for you? Is that the best part of what you do?
Yeah, I mean, it's we've been touring a lot the last 4 years, I'd say 4 or 5 years, and so you know I try to keep a balance, but
is it difficult at a festival where they're not necessarily there to see you, or do you look at that
that's
as a challenge?
Always a challenge. Yeah, but you know we really had trial by fire, or baptism by fire, whatever you want to call it, and you know, when I was starting out, we were always on bills where we shouldn't. Like, we were always opening up for the Prodigy in like the early 90s.
And that's a tough crowd to win over.
If you want to understand my stage moves, it's
and
opening
got
for the Prodigy.
Moves.
Yeah, the amount of bottles.
I was going to say, are you ducking and weaving?
Shoes and keys. People's house keys and car keys flying.
Oh, my God. How do they even get home?
Flying, you know, whizzing past your head, you know.
Did you ever get depressed and go, hey, I'm doing my best here?
I had some low moments. I remember a particularly sad festival in Belgium, the Dour Festival, which I think was actually spelled Dour.
Okay.
And just an unresponsive audience, and then a bottle of urine flying at my head.
Okay.
Oh,
that's,
no.
That's getting clocked on the head.
I don't like that.
It hit you?
So, yes.
Yeah, that's
direct hit.
Mm.
And Coolio's on the main stage blasting this out.
What's happening right now with this story?
Beck, I didn't know show business was so glamorous.
Look, I don't want to be complaining. I was happy to be there. I could do without the urine.
I think that's true of all of us.
Yes.
I think we've got an album title.
I think so, too.
I could do without the urine.
Yep.
I think that is a great place to leave it. I hope you have no bottles of urine thrown at you.
I don't want to give anybody any ideas.
Right.
Please.
No, certainly
please.
Not. Keep your urine to yourself.
Yes.
Congratulations on the new single, Beck. It's great to have you back on K-Rock. It really is. And as we said when you sat down, we always, always enjoy and look forward to the time we get to spend with you. And let's do it again in another 22 years. Thank you, sir.
Great. Thank you.
Hey!
Not even close. I don't know where you're getting the idea that that's a good idea, Chip. It's just not. Hey, Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat here for a Thursday morning. Thanks again to Beck for coming by.
Yes.
What an interesting, entertaining young man he is.
He sure is.
And he came up with that song off the top of his head. Just, the words just poured out of him, he said. Crazy genius.
We were here.
Okay. All right.
When he said those things out loud, we were all listening to what he was saying minutes ago.
What's going on with you, Ralph?
You guys were talking about Prince.
Yes.
With Beck. Sad news this morning as we learn, well, you know, not exactly a surprise. There had been speculation, but it has been confirmed by the autopsy and the tox screen afterwards that Prince did indeed pass away from an overdose of prescription pain medication.
Wow.
Associated Press is reporting that law enforcement confirms our suspicions that he had been abusing prescription medication, and that's what led to his death. So, it's just a tragic story, made even sadder.
It is sad. And let me ask you this, Ralph, because maybe I've just forgotten. Like, you know, Kurt Cobain had lifelong back problems, and that's how he went down the painkiller route. Was there something wrong with Prince that we knew of? An injury or an ailment that he was fighting?
Yeah, he had hip surgery.
Mm-hmm. Hip surgery, okay.
Now, it's hard to tell. You never know whether that was the cause. Was that the beginning of his problem? Did one exist beforehand? Nobody knows. But there's certainly a speculation that the hip surgery, which never seemed to heal properly, and he was in considerable pain after the fact, they certainly suggest that could have led to him legitimately taking prescription pain meds, and then, as so often happens, getting hooked on them. So.
Yeah, it didn't look good when we found out in the week after his death that he had prescriptions all over town.
Yeah, and those photos of him pacing nervously outside pharmacies waiting for the drugs to come out from one of his assistants. So,
I don't like it.
Just bad stuff. Bad stuff. I mentioned this earlier, and I got a lot of pushback, but I'm still in favor of Brie Larson, who is rumored now to be the lead candidate for the lead in the upcoming Captain Marvel film. This would be Marvel's first foray into a female superhero being the lead in a film. Of course, we've seen, you know, Scarlet Witch and Black Widow and stuff in the Avengers films, but Captain Marvel would be the first female lead in a Marvel film. And Brie Larson is rumored to be the lead candidate. We've heard other names bandied about, like Emily Blunt and Olivia Wilde, but according to sources, Brie Larson, the role's hers if she wants it, so we'll have to wait and see. But
now, you were saying that you heard from some people who were not happy with that?
Yeah, anytime you deal with the nerd culture, You're going to make somebody unhappy with your position?
Because she doesn't look enough like the comic book or something like that?
I think she looks a ton like the character, and I think she's a brilliant actress and would do a great job, but I had a lot of pushback from a lot of people who, of course, have their favorites who they'd like to see play the role, but I still think Brie Larson's a good choice. Although, for the longest time, I always held that one of my other favorites, Anna Torv, would be a great Captain
Marvel. I remember her, yeah.
She was the star of Fringe over there on Fox, which is a show that I loved. And I don't know what happened to her. She kind of fell off the map after that show. But I always thought she'd be terrific. Even as I was watching that series, I always thought that.
Becky with the good hair?
Becky with the good hair would also be a good choice.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
Right?
Oh, I'm Julian Fellowes, creator of Downton Abbey.
I don't think... He would be a very good one. Hey, Jack
Tokyo
White.
Tokyo Tony.
No, Jack White still wants you to buy vinyl, everyone. He's still pushing the vinyl.
He is committed.
He is very committed. He's got a very cool new 7-inch blue vinyl single that he is hawking. It is going to be released June 10th on Jack's Third Man Records. And it is a duet with Dwight Yoakam.
Listening to vinyl, I mean, there's really nothing else like it. It's way different than an MP3. It's different than a CD.
Yes, it is. It's different than both of those things.
Thanks, Muggs.
It's certainly different. It is not those things. We know that much. If science has proven anything, it's that vinyl is not an MP3 or a CD.
They are not, in fact, the same thing.
Many people are confused thinking that they are the same, but they are different.
So wait, this is Jack White duetting with Dwight Yoakam?
You heard me.
Singing?
Yes.
Oh, I like it.
They're doing two cover tunes. Mm-hmm. One is a song that was recorded by the Monkees, believe it or not, back in the day. The Monkees reared their ugly head once again. It's called Tomorrow's Gonna Be Another Day.
All right.
That was on the first Monkees album. And then the flip side of the single is Mountain of Love. The Mountain of Love, oh, the Mountain of Love.
All right. Yeah, I think about it as Johnny Rivers.
Johnny Rivers, Beach Boys did a cover of it. Also, Dwight Yoakam and Jack White doing it together. So
it's out on vinyl and CD.
Nope, just
and
just vinyl.
Cassette.
No,
as
just,
well.
Just vinyl.
God, really?
Yeah, I made that pretty clear, Rodney, when I said it was just a 7-inch blue vinyl single. And it will be available on Third Man Records on June 10th. If you're a completist and you want to get all of Jack's vinyl, this is for you.
You are killing me.
I don't think I am. I'm just reporting the news.
Hell yeah. All
right. And lastly, more music news. Eddie Vedder showed up Tuesday night here in Los Angeles. It was a charity gig, and The Who was playing at it. And wherever The Who is, Eddie's is not far behind. He likes to show up where they are.
Why?
Tuesday night in L.A., the Who Cares About the Next Generation was a benefit for The Who's favorite charity, Teen Cancer USA, and the event was literally in someone's backyard. Literally.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Eddie did a 4-song set and dedicated his song Last Will and Testament to Prince, which was sweet. The Who did a full set without a full band, oddly enough. There's only 2 members left, and they did a full set. And Eddie joined in for the Real Me, great Who song. Joan Jett also performed, and there was a live auction run by Howie Mandel.
Story has everything.
Which reportedly raised $3.2 million for the charity.
Like how?
Howie can sell, man. That's all I know. Anyway, it sounded like a cool event. Wish I had been there.
My goodness.
Hey, Rodney, did you hear that? There's a new song from Jack White. It's an old Monkey song.
Obviously.
I knew you would know about it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Charlie Watts, 75 years old today. Dennis Haysbert, 62. Dana Carvey, 61. Bravo's Andy Cohen is 48. Wentworth Miller, of course, from Prison Break. He's returning to that series. They're going to reboot Prison Break on Fox. I can't wait to see that. Of course, you know I love him as Leonard Snart.
Sure.
Again.
The Snart Man.
No. From Flash and...
The Snarter.
Legends of Tomorrow. He's 44
Gotta
years old.
Gotta love the Snarter.
Stop.
Wayne Brady's 44 also. Zachary Quinto, Mr. Spock in the new Star Trek universe. He is 39. Dominic Cooper, Preacher. Howard Stark from Agent Carter. He's 38. My buddy Justin Long. He's 38 years old. Nikki Coxmore, Jay's wife and a very funny, talented lady in her own right, 38 years old today. Morena Baccarin is 37. And Be Real is 46 years old today. When do the tickets go on sale for that?
10 o'clock. 10 minutes from right now, Hollywood Palladium Box Office. Be Real himself is going to be in the box office helping to sell those tickets for the show tomorrow night at the Palladium.
It's a shame he's on hard times. He's got to take a job as a ticket seller?
No. I think he's doing it to hang out with the fans.
It wouldn't be necessary.
I think he's down there.
Put away a couple dollars, Be Real, so you don't have to take part-time work with Ticketmaster.
He's trying to enjoy the excitement of the Prophets of Rage sale at 10 o'clock.
Sounds like drudgery to me.
More like hot box office.
Okay.
You shoehorned that one in?
Get out.
That was important enough for you.
Seriously, leave.
To get out the jaws of life and force that into the conversation? That was important to you?
Allie, I'm not going on until you get up out of your chair and you walk out of the room.
He's right, you know. It's only right.
Go.
She's up.
Leave.
She's at the door.
Close
and
it.
She's gone.
Oh, thank God.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness, and we all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. So thank you, Honda, for that. Tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. This is almost too much show, Ralph. Check this out. Our friend Amber Tamblyn's going to be back on the program. Love her as an actress, and she has now directed a film called Paint It Black, and she'll be telling us all about that tomorrow. Robert Kirkman returns in studio.
Robert Kingman?
Nope, Kevin. It's Robert
Of the Walking Dead?
No, graphic novel The Walking Dead turned into the TV series. He's got a new show called Outcast he has created. Kingman. We'll talk to Robert on the program. Our old friend Ben Glebe is going to be back in
studio. Ben Glebe?
He's got a new Showtime special.
He does the liar test.
Megan Fox on the program tomorrow.
We're not
worried. She is April O'Neil, of course, from the upcoming new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. All of that, plus the movie beat, and more tickets you can win for the Hollywood Palladium show with Prophets of Rage. That's tomorrow, a Friday, right here on K-Rock.